The Fan.
Listen up. The ratings just came in for last month. We are number one. We just grabbed every key demographic.
Super duper.
That's nice. Way to go. Neato, gang.
Yes.
Boy, that is good news.
Do you feel blame? Are you mad? Do you feel like Woos Kebab's right for Anish? Get Fred's boots, boots,
Anyway, how is your sex life?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Power Trip Morning Show. Today's comedians are Justin McKinney and Frank Caliendo.
But being a Pats fan is great, and as big of a Pats fan as I am, my brother is even bigger than me. My brother has a Patriot logo tattoo on his arm. Yeah, that's a fit, right? Patriot logo tattoo. Yeah. And I gotta tell you, I don't have any tattoos, but I did used to work in a jail for a little while, and I learned a lot about tattoos. Like, I saw a guy with these teardrop tattoos running down his face. He had, like, 3 drops on this side and 2 drops on this side. I didn't know what that meant. I thought that was a Jets fan tattoo. But no, apparently, it has to do with, it represents someone they've killed. Have you heard this? Each person they've killed. I didn't know. I saw it. I go, what's with all the teardrop tattoos? It's like, I've killed 5 people. Looks like you're being a baby about it. I don't know if that's the look you're going for, but you might want to get rid of that if you're going to make it in here. You're doing like XLIB to life, aren't you? You got like a... here for a while.
I'm making sense to some of you. Other people are like, I don't think he's making a lot of it. Maybe we hire a narrator to narrate the show. Hire Morgan Freeman, stand back there. That's when the audience realized that Frank Caliendo had no idea what was going on. Truth of the matter was, he wasn't sure what he was going to talk about either. He was just going to walk from one side of the stage to the other side. While all the people in the front row looked down, so he didn't talk about him.
I wish I had Morgan Freeman in my life just to narrate me through situations. Because my wife will ask me those questions. You've heard comedians talk about him a million times. You've probably talked about him yourself. But my wife will ask me that question. Do I look fat in these jeans?
Well, that's when Frank realized he'd be sleeping on the couch for a while. Truth of the matter is, didn't matter what he said. See, he thought she was looking for an answer. Truth of the matter was, she was looking for an argument. See, from time to time, Frank's wife would give Frank a little test to see how good of a husband he was. Frank had failed many times. Well, that's just the way it was at Shaw, Frank.
In our own different ways, but we all got back to the Twin Cities. I'm dead tired. Sauce, you?
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
That's great.
Yeah,
Chris, When did you fly home?
You know, I feel pretty good. I ain't gonna lie to you guys. I don't know.
What time did you roll in?
Let's see. Got the TCO last night and into my truck at about 7:30, I guess.
Jeez.
And was back in my home and spent a little time with the fam. Went to bed at a normal time. I feel pretty good. I don't know what you guys are complaining about.
Oh, it's great.
I think we were still in traffic at Arrowhead at 7:30. Man, what a cool stadium, though, dude.
I told you, right?
Oh, man.
It's everything, but you have to see it to believe it, right?
Yeah. Like, it's a college stadium in the NFL. It's sick.
It's awesome. The fans are great. Yeah. The experience is great. The parking, it's everything you want it to be. It's everything you want it to be. And, Corey, you said this yesterday when we... put you on the pregame there, and I hadn't thought about this before. Maybe it's something that I just didn't read. But if that's what the Wilfs were thinking of building out by, 694
Arden
and 35?
Arden Hills, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love U.S. Bank, but holy moly, there's nothing like that, right?
Yeah, they wanted something like that, right? Yeah. Just a giant sea of cars to tailgate.
Just a giant sea.
Yeah. A giant sea in Arden Hills. I know a couple of those.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great, man. Michael Kenney did a great job, like, hurting everyone, and that's not an easy job.
Yeah, no, you guys didn't lose anybody, as far as you know?
I don't think so.
I don't think No, and he he watched and waited for everybody,
Yeah.
And then,
he's
of course,
like a bomb.
Steven kicks ass.
Yeah, Steven's the best. Both those best drivers.
Yeah.
I have so much more respect for you, though, Chris, now after this weekend. Because we spent, like yesterday, we spent 8 hours on a good bus, a really good bus.
A great
bus. With really good people, with a really good driver, and that was 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You did 37, at the last 8 or 9 when Jefferson bailed you out. But you did the first, 28, 29?
Yeah.
On a garbage bus with garbage people.
Yeah.
Right? Human trash.
Yeah.
For almost 30 hours before Jefferson bailed you out and got the good bus to you on your own.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know how you did it.
Here's I don't either.
When
that's easily the worst punishment, including
by a mile.
The growing out the hair for 11 months. Easily that's the worst.
I'm so glad.
It's not even close.
Because the first thing when I walked in, I saw Saucy this morning and I said, I don't blame you for hating me, but I got a great night's sleep. And then we started talking. He started complaining. He's like, listen, these are very nice buses.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, it's the best, but it's still not comfortable. I mean, I couldn't get comfortable. I tried to sleep, but I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Try that for 36 hours. Try that.
36 is a grind.
Unreal. So you guys get just a glimpse. That's why I've said that was way too hard of a punishment for a stupid fantasy football.
But you know what else? The drive down during the day, zero problem.
Not a problem.
Zero. Everybody was having the most fun ever.
I was drunk as hell.
Right. Super fun drive down. Super comfortable. Right. But last night everybody was drunk. People that care about sports were pissed about the game. I wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. I had moved on immediately. But I was still it's harder to get comfortable when you're trying to truly sleep.
Oh, yeah, but the second that sun went down, it was like someone turning the volume down in the bus.
Yeah, everybody just kind of tapped out. Oh, like, boy.
Yeah, but it was, man.
About three people that tried to power through and keep drinking.
I sat next to a really nice couple from Worthington. They were super great.
Good people, man.
They,
that group of teachers on the way down were super cool.
Yeah, we got wasted together. We played cards and got smashed.
Everybody was super nice.
And, we watched. He had the Sunday Night Football game on his iPad, so him and I watched that with a couple other people. It was sweet. And then I stood up for about an hour because my fat legs hurt so bad. Wasn't a great weekend to eat like I did and then sit sedentary for a while?
Yeah, one of those two.
Man.
I'm telling you, man. But again, you know what? Jefferson Lions, thank you so much.
They're great.
It's the best in the world to get on the bus. And again, because it was chartered and not just a little, we got on the bus and started drinking pops.
Yeah.
And, it snapped my fingers. We were at Diamond Joe's. Left there with a lot of money. Jeez. Snapped my fingers. We're in Kansas City. I'm like, we're here already?
Right.
Oh, that's the way to go, baby.
Well, you got comfortable because you were sitting on your bed of money.
I was.
Right.
God.
I know. I can't believe it either, man. I don't know what's going on. Seriously. I'm doing the numbers of what I got to pay taxes on this year. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Good luck to you. I hope you know a good
account. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know either, man, but you saw it. I don't know.
Yeah.
The big one that I hit was on a machine that when I was walking by, I looked at it and I go, well, I've never seen that machine before.
Jesus.
It was an Elvira nickel machine.
Oh, you
of course
love,
it was
you
an Elvira
her.
Machine.
I love Elvira. That's exactly why, right?
Because why do you love her?
She's got old juggers on her. Yeah, scary old jugs, but...
She's got old or old. Because either way, it works.
Either ones.
Yeah. You're into both. You're into both.
And again, I've said it before, but you know the one who goes, why don't you let me have them? That's her. That's Elvira on Pee Wee Herman, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she really looks like.
Would you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's your biker, babe.
Yeah, and those old juggers.
And I like to finish while I'm afraid.
Whoa!
Wow.
When you started that sentence, I thought you would use the wrong word, and then by the time the sentence ended, it was exactly the word you intended to make.
Just a PSA, don't go through a haunted house with Chris Hockey.
You'll never get me to go through a haunted house.
Yeah, me
never.
Either.
But So yeah, I sat down at this machine, and I kid you not, because I'm not good at math, I won so many nickels that I couldn't figure out how much I'd won. Mm-hmm. I was over 90,000 nickels by the time the free game stopped spinning. And I looked at the guy who was around the corner from me, who had just hit $10,000, by the way.
Whoa.
So we were like waiting to get paid together. I looked at him, I go, I have no idea how much I won. And when it popped up, it was
$4,500.
I know. Unbelievable.
Well, of course, that's the trick of all the casinos, right? Is they don't want, you know, exactly what you're betting.
Right.
Some of them are more complicated than others.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. We ran into you later that night at a different casino in Kansas City.
That's right.
Tim Nelson and I did.
Yeah.
And Tim told me a story that he threw $100 into a machine, didn't realize it was a dime machine instead of a penny machine,
mm-hmm.
Spun it three times, tried to spin it a fourth time, and the machine went, eh. And he's like, yep. What's wrong? Yeah. And he looked down, he realized he had been betting $30 a spin.
Yeah.
He thought he was betting $3 a spin. Mm-hmm. He was also intoxicated.
A little bit.
So that did not help his chances of understanding his wager.
Man.
Yeah,
so
that was the liquor at that point.
That was $100 in, I think he said, under 10 seconds.
Man. Yeah, that place that I saw you guys at, you know me, I love a casino. And
Harris?
I can fight through anything.
Yeah.
It was so damn smoky in there. I was literally, I had to leave. I mean, it was like 10:30 and I was leaving a casino.
Right.
And nobody was telling me I had to go. That never happens.
If I was a betting man, and I am, that was a photo finish for us. Because Tim and I were driving, we're Ubering to Harris. And he goes, percent chance we see hockey. And I go, well, there's six casinos around Kansas City. And he didn't say he was going to any of them. So already we're in trouble. But it's like a 95% chance he's going to one of them. This is the one that everybody says we're going to.
Exactly,
so
why I
went, I'm
going
to say 60% that we see him. And Tim and I are in the line for the Uber. And Chris is nowhere to be found. And I would have lost the bet. And then about 5 minutes before our Uber pulls up, Chris walks right behind us. Trying to get his own Uber.
Oh, hi, guys.
So right at the buzzer, right at the line, right at the wire, Chris came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
What a fun weekend. That was a lot
fun.
Of fun. The only drag is losing that game. But what a fun game from a non-Viking fan's perspective.
It was sweet, dude.
That was a hell of a good game to watch, right?
Yeah they blew
there
it in a lot of
ways. There were some frustrating things.
Yeah,
man. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Yes. Yeah. I mean, you could look at different moments, individual moments that changed everything about that game.
Well, the 91-yard run killed him.
Obviously, that killed him, but a couple of penalties that were poorly timed.
Non-penalties,
yeah.
I know Zimmer's losing his mind, and I think he's right, and Bursich said it on the air like three times yesterday, going, what are we doing with this offensive pass interference?
Yeah, right.
You know, Dalvin Cook, the one against, what was that, the Packers?
Yeah.
It went against the Vikings when they reviewed it and said, nope, Dalvin pushed that guy, so that's not a touchdown. It cost what it cost the Vikings. Yesterday, the two or three where Kansas City clearly walked right into us, like Kendricks was the one that got knocked down.
Yeah.
They reviewed it and don't overturn it. Like,
that makes no
and
sense.
And Pete goes, why are we even reviewing this? If you can have a guy run right into Eric like that and basically bull rush him over while the ball's in the air and push him more. You can't do that.
And you review it and see it.
And see it and still say that's
still
not
say
enough.
It's okay.
Why are we wasting our time watching
these? I have no idea. There's no way to explain that one, man.
And the Vikes aren't the only team that have been burned by that, but they definitely had a time or two yesterday that they got screwed over for that. So, I don't know. It was weird because I thought yesterday was an opportunity for Kirk to have a big statement game.
Same.
And he kind of did, but then he left too many balls like over the hands or heads of other, like, four or five throws where you're like, ugh, come on, dude.
Yeah.
But the rest of the game, he was really sharp.
He threw for three touchdowns, and as Hockey pointed out, I don't think this was on the air, but he pointed out during the halftime, when they had the big ode to the military thing,
mm-hmm.
those stars hit out there were, the wind on that field was treacherous in the second half, and I just don't think he ever got used to it. But he threw three touchdown passes.
You know what I don't get, though, about overthrows? And, Hawk, you know, on the headphones or whatever, on the little jacks thing that Jared gives us?
Yeah.
I get to hear part of the behind-the-scenes broadcast, right? So I didn't hear Greg or Ben, but I could hear you talking to them. I don't know what frequency that is, but it's weird. So I only heard half of the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know the Kirk quote overthrow to Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
That was like 60 yards in the air. And you mentioned, you're like, man, that was 2 inches too far.
2 inches.
So then I go to Twitter, and I see people on Twitter going, God, Kirk with another giant overthrow. And I go, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Right. First of all, wasn't a giant overthrow.
Right.
And why is it on, quote, overthrows when it's that close? Why is it always on the quarterback? Like, if a receiver is sprinting 100% and Kirk overthrows him by 7 yards, you can say, dude, that's not even close. Yeah. When you have one that's that close, that's an inch or two or three away, from 60 yards out, we're asking for inch-by-inch accuracy. Why is it never on just the combo? Why is it always the quarterback that overthrew it instead of the receiver? If the receiver takes one slow step, one.
Right.
If he slows down for one-tenth of a second, that's the inch or two.
Right.
So I'm not saying Diggs didn't give 100%. I'm not saying Kirk overthrew it. I'm just saying the combo was 2 inches off. I don't understand why Twitter always destroys Kirk and doesn't ever say, man, the timing was just 0.1 off.
Well, and if you remember,
because Diggs laid out for it.
And if you look at the play, there was heavy pressure in Kirk's face when he threw it as well. So add that in as well.
I'm with you, man.
I know.
Get it. People want like these people to be superheroes. That's almost a perfect throw from 50, 60 yards out. That was a bomb.
Yeah.
And it missed by an inch or two. Yeah. He catches that ball.
Yeah.
Or if that ball is an inch or two shorter, or if Diggs finds a way to snag it with his fingertips, that whole game changes.
Man, I'm really worried about the whole Thielen thing, man. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, what did he last? Like five plays?
I heard it was three.
Wasn't very long.
Yeah.
Very long.
And by the way, how different, the other thing that, that Kirk really, really pissed off Twitter with yesterday is how different that game is if he doesn't slide.
I know. And he knew
get
it.
That first down.
He knew it better than anybody, man. Did you see the play on the replay?
Yeah.
When he's sliding, he looks over and you can see the look on his face like, damn it. But you got to go head first there, man.
Yeah, are you guys a little surprised they didn't go for it?
Yeah. I thought they would for sure go for it. They had a bunch of momentum, too.
Not only that, it's almost like putting your quarterback in the corner. Right?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying there.
Instead of going, well, God dang it, you slid and you're short and now we have to punt, like you're trying to teach him a lesson, I'd almost be like, dude, you effed up, go get that first down.
Right, yeah.
Finish that. You're a half a yard short. Yeah. That's your fault. If we don't get this first down, this is on you. Go get it. And then whether it's Dalvin or Kirk or whatever, but geez, I couldn't believe they punted there.
Dude, and you know, that's a great point because, you know, obviously, it was weird because the Chiefs were, well, who was the quarterback we had a couple of years ago that had the greatest season ever? He only threw like 8 passes over 10 yards.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah,
oh, Bradford was
That was the Matt Moore plan yesterday, man. You know, they had a couple of really long passes,
yeah,
obviously,
that's
but
exactly
mostly
what
it was dink and dunk here, and it worked great for him, right?
Yeah, Bursich went through that stat, right?
Yeah.
That he was throwing, what, 6-point-something yards on average, as opposed to Mahomes, was closer to 10. So it was a dink and dunk stat that definitely held up.
But at that point, I think you're right. I think you go for it and just depend on your defense to hold him. You know, outside of the 91 or 92-yard touchdown run, I think they had like 40 total yards rushing on 20-some attempts or something like that.
Right.
If you took that long run out of it, they couldn't run against us.
Right.
So, you're right. I'm surprised they didn't do that now that you say that as well. I didn't think about it at the time. But
hey, quick reminder, too. Tyreek Hill is human trash.
Yeah, he's crap.
I'm going to throw that out there.
POS.
He's garbage.
There's no doubt about
that. God, there's a lot of people that love Tyreek Hill down there.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Well, he's good at football.
Yeah.
How about,
isn't that cute?
Yeah, how about on our way out, Corey, when they were banging on that thing,
that was aggressive. Did you walk out to that? You know, those spiral staircases to walk up the whatever to the top of the stadium,
right?
So in KC they do the chant, right? The Atlanta Braves deal, tomahawk,
whatever it's called.
But they all bang on those, like that, I don't know, kind of sheet metal or whatever.
Yeah.
They bang on it and they. It was kind of overwhelming. It was kind of awesome.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Leaving, and then a whole bunch of Chiefs fans were sarcastically skull chanting us.
I know, right?
They were, they seemed to be great.
Yeah, it was all good natured stuff. It wasn't like Eagles garbage.
It wasn't like Eagles,
It was definitely, they were trolling us, but not in a I want to slash your tires and kill your family kind of a way.
Right.
It was more of just, hey, good game, but we're going to trash talk you as you're leaving.
And I got to say,
there's nothing wrong with that.
And I have an audio that I'll play later from one of the Eagles players. he was like, we were pissed because there were so many Vikings fans.
Oh,
here.
Chiefs players, yeah.
Chiefs players.
A couple guys on Twitter said this. A couple Chiefs players on Twitter said the same thing. Like, what's up with all the Vikings fans?
The chant was so loud that we could hear it. You know, I mean, that's at an away game that's not in L.A. or Cleveland. Pretty impressive.
And there was a bunch of empty seats yesterday. I thought this was the place to be.
Right.
In
there were. Like, and everybody kept coming with, well, they like to stay out and tailgate, but even way into the first quarter, there were a bunch of empty seats.
Yeah.
How'd your guys' fantasy charge quarterbacks do?
Fine. You know, I didn't get to see what my
points were. Okay.
Was it okay? All right.
Everybody did okay, except for AJ got 1 point with Jacoby Brissett because he got hurt. Mm. The rest of us all were in the mid-teens. So nobody really gained ground, except for AJ lost a ton. So, Hawk, you and I are in a virtual tie with AJ. The three of us and the Ghost are all basically in a group. Sauce is still about 20 points back. Creasel's about, 30 points up.
Yep.
So still anybody's game with about, six weeks left?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Kansas City's very similar to Jamaica, Zach. Almost identical.
It really is. Yeah. It sounded a lot like it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of crazy fans, a lot of crazy people. It's fun.
It was fun. Just went the wrong way at the end.
Yeah. Right. Man, what a game.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a cool atmosphere. It was cool to watch P.A. Hogsley and everybody else work.
Yeah,
P.A.
is the best. Thank you. You did.
Well, that dude's amazing.
Yeah, the stats guy yesterday was unbelievable.
The good doctor, man.
Who's that guy?
Well, he works with Ben on the NFL Network, right? Yeah. But he literally is a doctor. And on the weekend, this is what he likes to do.
Mm-hmm. So, he's just a hobby.
Smart.
Yeah,
he just thinks it's fun to be a part of broadcast. Exactly.
Dude, I mean, I can tell when we come back, but
yeah,
he barely uses the computer. It's all notes he's taken, and he just writes stuff, and he pushes it at PA on like a post-it note, and PA will look over and go, wow, and then he'll go with it. But he rarely checks the computer.
It's a system only he understands. It really is something to see.
He writes down every play. Dude, it's fascinating to watch.
Hmm. Behind the scenes of a radio broadcast. Front Page Sports is next. This is the Power Trip Morning Show. Ben Lieber will be here in about an hour. He'll break down what happened, what went wrong in Kansas City against the now 6-3 Chiefs. And the Vikings fall to 6-3. That's next. Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan. Yeah, why are we talking sports?
I don't know. I don't know. I can you believe it? You know what's weird, man? And we're talking about the reunification of Rage Against the Machine on the Power Trip Morning Show.
Oh, yeah, dude.
On a Monday morning after a Vikings game.
Wow, 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 wow.
But
guitar guy's here.
Oh, look at him.
Wow, 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 wow. You always have to be slightly off, right?
And Litterbox is here. Meow, 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 meow.
And Sauce is here. Sing it.
Oh, he's named Mew. Emu is here.
So they're reuniting for 5 shows.
That's right.
None of them are even remotely close to Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We gotta go.
But more importantly, don't just get together for 5 shows. Put a goddang album out. Come on.
So it looks like, obviously, we're not going to Prague in April.
Yeah, maybe not.
Looks like we're going to Coachella in April then instead. Rally around the family.
What a weird place to reunite.
Right.
That seems like the most anti-Rage Against the Machine crowd ever.
Sounds like a giant sellout thing.
Right. What a weird place to come back. Coachella. Clearly they're going to headline, right? They have to be the headliner.
They freaking better.
They better be the headliner.
This will turn into a large tour.
Weapons, not schools.
Because they'll make a killing.
Right.
It's not about the money, man.
Everybody says that, but...
But what's next year?
Oh, yeah.
An election year.
Yeah.
That's correct. They got to burn the books. They just remove them.
Yeah, what a perfect timing for them.
Yeah, time Chris and I saw him was the Republican National Convention.
God.
When it was in the Twin Cities.
I've got to go. I've got to see this band.
Well, we got to go.
One of the best shows ever.
Agree. Aren't they in Arizona as well?
I don't know. We need to look at the list. You two, please. Not the band. Somebody find me a list of shows.
I don't want to go to Coachella.
I don't either.
I saw that yesterday in the Chiefs parking lot.
Yeah.
That was close enough.
I want to go to Coachella.
Oh, you want to see Marshmallow.
True, but...
I want to eat marshmallows.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, hell yeah, they're great.
Bulls on parade, B-word.
El Paso, Texas, that's not far.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
when we're in Vegas, but it's, you know, not far. They're in New Mexico, 28th, so that's the Friday we're in Vegas.
That's when we're in Vegas, yeah.
But they're in Phoenix on the 30th, so just...
Straight there!
Fly down there.
Where, yeah, and when do we leave Vegas?
The 29th.
Ooh!
So that's Monday, March 30th.
Let's do it!
Get with it now!
They're already halfway there.
How far is the drive from Vegas to Phoenix?
Not far.
Like four?
Hugs knows. Ask Donaldson. Oh, he's dead.
Well, can't ask him, I guess. Bulls are on parade.
Brianne, how old are you?
28 still.
Can Brianne name any Rage Against the Machine songs except for Bulls on Parade, which we just played? Yes or no? Do you think she can do it?
Yes, she can.
Yeah, I think she can.
I think she can.
Zach, you think she can do it or not? You know her.
Yeah, of course.
She can.
Absolutely.
Name any song except for Bulls on Parade.
Down Rodeo.
Does that count?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It counts, even though it's Rodeo.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Down Rodeo.
That sounds like a depressed rodeo.
Yeah, it sounds like the version Corey listens to.
Yeah, it sounds like all the cows are, the bulls are cows. And
yeah.
Down Rodeo shreds.
Yeah, that song wails.
People ain't.
Yep. Get there.
Yep.
Boom.
Four-hour, 40-minute drive, by the way.
440?
That's easy,
That's
bitch.
Easy. Yeah.
Let's do it.
And Parrish will want to go, so we'll have a way to get tickets, because I'm sure he knows a guy.
I'd love to take a drive through the desert.
I've never done it. I would do it.
Yeah.
I honestly will do this.
Well, this is about the only way I'm willing to do it, because I love Rage Against the Machine. One of my all-time favorite bands, and I've seen them twice. One of the greatest concerts I've ever... I've always said that if I have never... Because 311's my band, so my favorite shows ever are 311 shows. But if I'm going to be objective, if I eliminated all of my emotion from 311 and just took 311 off the map, the two Rage Against the Machine shows that I've seen, especially the Republican National Convention show, that was maybe my favorite concert experience of my life.
Yep.
It was so overwhelmingly awesome.
Yep. Overwhelming's the right word.
And remember, we just talked about this a week or two ago. The people that had lined up for 21 Pilots 20 hours before the goddamn concert, like Zach Halverson did for Halsey.
Yes.
I just don't care anymore. And we asked the hypothetical, is there any band on the planet that you would wait 20 hours to see? And clearly, since I've seen 311 50 times, I'm not waiting 20 hours outside. Like, I'll just go see them the next time they come through.
You don't mind standing in the back.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I said, there's only one band on the planet I can imagine waiting at an arena 20 hours to let the doors open. If I had to wait to, you know what I'm saying? If I had to wait in line to get in, Rage Against the Machine. I said I would wait 20 hours for Rage. So that would be kind of hypocritical to not drive 4 hours and 40 minutes from Vegas to Phoenix.
Yeah, we gotta go. Hey, still haven't announced the venue.
Rolling down Rodeo with
haven't
a
announced
shotgun.
The venue.
Get out of that rodeo!
Get out of here with your shotgun!
A rodeo? That's not how this works.
You can bring your pistols, but keep your shotgun in your truck.
What do you think the rodeo clowns are for? We don't need guns.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So we'd have to have Michael Kenny switch our flights from Vegas home on a Sunday to home from Phoenix on a Tuesday.
Then we'd
have
to,
broadcast
really
from Phoenix on Monday.
I'm in.
I'd do it.
Hell yeah.
How do we get tickets? Are we going to pay second market for them? Because that's probably about the only way we're going to get them. Because
I believe we trade legal tender.
American currency.
Yeah.
Chris has a gangster roll.
Yeah.
I won a good chunk of money over the weekend, and Chris, I look poor compared to Chris.
Chris was one shot of American honey away from just doing the Dumb and Dumber bit. You go.
I know. Everybody kept looking at me after I did a drink, like,
is this where that cheese comes out?
Every time I thought about it, I called Sarah, and she's like, no! Keep your money in your pocket. No!
I never, ever, ever play slots because Chris wins all the money. There's none left over for the rest of us.
Right.
Yeah.
But I won $1,100 this weekend, and I was still walking up and down the aisle in Jefferson Lines just going, please, sir.
Right.
Please. That was, what? That's like 16% of what Chris won.
Right.
Yeah, damn. I know. It's pretty fun.
Man, that feels good, though. The when I went to the high stakes slots, yeah. And the second spin, it hit. And that 5 seconds of, oh my gosh, how much is this worth?
Right.
That is the greatest five-second feeling ever. Because when you play cards, when I used to play poker, I knew exactly how much was in the pot. I knew, if I win this pot, I'm going to win that much money. When you have like that jackpot feeling
it's
go off,
best, yeah.
And you're just waiting for that number. How much did I win? Did I win 200? Did I win 200,000? Yeah, what's the number?
Right.
Man, is that anticipation sweet.
Yeah, it's a whole lot.
No wonder you chase that
it's
feeling.
I can't help it, man. That's my drug.
Yeah, dude, it's the best. Like, or hockey, as you know, when you hit whatever the three in a row is, whatever it is for the bonus, man, the free spin games, whale.
That's when they
dude,
got
Dude, that's
you.
When you, yeah, that's when you're
when
like,
they got you.
We should play again.
Yeah,
let's go back.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Like, yeah. I almost went back with you two just to play slots with Tim, but I'm like, I'm going to go to bed.
So, Hawk, this is the Vegas plan is always, right, team slots, right? Those idiots, like eight of them will play team slots.
Right.
And then even if they hit it big, they have to split it eight ways. So I'm like, I'll hang out with you guys, but I have no interest in participating. Yeah. So I just watch. So that's what we were doing at Diamond Joe's. Kara and Tim and Sauce were doing team slots. They're like, Corey, you want it? I go, no, thanks. I'll just watch. So I hung out, and I hung out, and I hung out. Then I went by myself to the high stakes slots. And I walk back with a ticket that says $700, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is why you don't play team slots.
That's right.
I don't have to split this three ways.
No.
I get all of this.
Yeah.
So
I don't play team work. You guys ain't getting any of my money.
Right.
No
well
way.
Played, yeah.
No way, B-words. Leave me alone, and don't talk to me, by the way. Elvira's trying to get me.
Yeah, she worked.
She did.
Yep. You walked by her, and you fell in love again.
Oh, man.
Brianne, if you do care, there's a really depressed rodeo in Stillwater in October.
Oh, good.
If you want to go next year.
I'll catch that.
All right, let's speaking of depressing.
Front Page Sports is brought to you by our friends at Ryan Pasiga Law. Thanks, Ryan Pasiga Law. The Vikes lost on a last-second field goal by Butker.
Ugh.
And the Kansas City Chiefs. So Matt Moore gets it done. The Vikings were what? Somewhere between 3 and 5 point favorites, right? Yeah. When it was official that Mahomes was out, the line kept sneaking up.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what they closed at, but the Vikes were favored. And
I think it was 3.5.
And I'm feeling good that I dodged the bullet. I changed my mind and didn't bet it, but I was definitely on the Viking side.
Yeah, same. I was going to do the exact same thing, but man, glad I did not as well.
How much of I wonder how different the game would have been if Dan Bailey had made that extra point.
It changes everything.
Well, significantly.
Yeah.
Just a strange, strange thing. And again, a field goal kicker is allowed to miss an extra point.
Yeah.
Right? If
That's
he's missing a bunch of them.
Not automatic anymore.
Right, they're not. Exactly. That's why they moved it back, is they didn't want it to be a 99% thing. So if you get down to like a 90 or 92% range, I don't know, one out of every 10 is not going through. And Dan Bailey's been pretty goddamn good this year. Was the special teams player of the week twice in the month of October. Pretty sick. But the Vikes fall to the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead 26-23. Both teams now 6-3. So that snaps the four-game win streak for the Vikes. We got lucky, though, because the Packers lost, too.
Man, what a weird game that was.
Yeah, they looked terrible.
They looked awful. I think Rodgers had like 35 passing yards in the first half.
Yuck. Cousins yesterday, just 50% completion, though. 19 of 38, 220, three touchdowns, a 94.2 passer rating. Not a lot out of Dalvin Cook, either.
Yeah.
They had a hard time running yesterday.
Well, I think they did what a lot of people have done, is, well, we're going to make Kirk Cousins beat us, and we're going to do everything we can to stop Dalvin. But as Pete pointed out multiple times in the broadcast yesterday, every time the Vikings would shift or do anything that the Kansas City Chiefs seemed to have not seen, they would panic. They were yelling. They were switching guys in and out, like on Rudy's touchdown. They were doing like a wholesale change as the Vikings walked up to the line. It was really, they just seemed out of sorts. And like they hadn't studied any tape or seen anything that the Vikings had done.
Thielen out for what, 90% of the game, if not more? Right, right. He barely played.
Mm-hmm.
You would think this would be primetime Diggs time, but then it sounds like even though they were confused and scatterbrained most of the game, that the Chiefs tried to focus in on Diggs. One catch, 4 yards.
Ugh.
Which is why he was mostly melting down on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yep. It wasn't...
He seems fun when he's upset.
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, I know a guy like that.
Laquon Treadwell, 3 catches for a team-high 58 yards.
Well, then he had the one. He was so wide open, and it, as Paul said on the broadcast, the refs assumed he cheated. He was so wide open.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a great line.
Yeah. Yeah, that he was so wide open.
Yeah. You see, Laquon Treadwell that wide open, you're like, well, he's got to be cheating.
Yeah.
Oh, the flag that got reversed?
Yeah,
is that what he said?
Right. So he's like, yeah, well, they call the flag because you see him that wide
open by 20 yards.
Cheating.
That's a good line.
Yeah. But he wasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so that, that's, I don't know. That's tough, man.
Yeah.
At the Cowboys next week.
That's right. At Cowboys.
Sunday night football on Sunday.
That's going to be tough.
You think?
Yep. You got to stop Zeke and you got to stop that offense that has kind of found their rhythm.
So I always rip when we go through the schedule in April and when we go win, loss, loss, win, win. Because it's like, come on. There's just so many things that could happen between then and now.
Yeah.
But now we're halfway through the year and we've seen how different games can change. The Chiefs game yesterday, even though they lost, they were favored because of Mahomes being out, right? Things change. Let's look at the next 3 or 4 or 5 games. Tell me what you think, okay?
Okay.
At Cowboys next Sunday.
Loss.
I think we can win.
I think that's definitely a 50-50 proposition.
Yep.
I don't feel bad about that at all. Hosting the Broncos better be a goddamn win.
Domination. Yep. They're playing a guy who
should
I think that'll be, what, his third game?
Yeah, Flacco's out
but
for the year.
They beat the Browns.
Yeah, the Browns are trash, though.
Awful.
At Seahawks, yikes.
Yeah, DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson threw for five touchdowns yesterday.
He's probably your MVP. I think that is the most likely loss the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Right, out of at Cowboys, home against the Broncos, at Seahawks, home against the Lions, at Chargers, hosting the Packers, hosting the Bears, I think the most likely loss, Sunday night football at Seahawks. Sunday night or is that a Monday nighter? I think that might be a Monday nighter.
We got to find a win here, though, because the Packers are on a tough spell. They get Carolina this week, and then I think they go to Dallas after we do. So we got to find a way to get one of these.
I think the Vikes beat the Bears, the Chargers, the Lions, the Broncos. I think the Vikings still win the division at 10-6.
You think the Packers are going to lose 5 more games?
What are they?
They're
7-2.
7-1.
7-2.
7-2. Sorry, yeah, my fault. Yeah. 7-2.
Yeah.
I'm the idiot.
I still think they do it. Because I think they're going to beat the Packers here.
I'd say that's,
that'll be a fun game.
All right, more of the Power Trip Morning Show after this. Ben Lieber in 45 minutes right here on The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. It's your Power Trip Morning Show, recovering from a Vikings loss. Hell of a game between two good teams in Kansas City yesterday. Well done to all you Vike fans who represented. And all of you who rode with us down on the Jefferson Lines buses, thank you for coming along.
It was fun. Everybody
was
really
nice.
Hope
you had as much fun as we did.
Yeah, everybody was
nice,
yeah.
And to all the people who got to listen to me wax poetic at the top of the bus.
What?
Dude, I was standing, so I got really drunk. I don't know if you guys noticed or not.
No,
yeah,
I didn't.
You were making money hand over fist.
Right.
Who cares?
And as
Get
we were
it.
Getting close to Kansas City, I needed to stand up, so I stood at the front of the bus and just took questions.
Is that what you were doing?
Holding court.
Yeah,
that's right. And I was telling Zach and Brianne that at one point, I launched into a soliloquy about how my whole life, all I wanted to do was make an impact with my music and have a legacy of great music, but I think my legacy is the Christmas speech.
Oh, my God. My favorite was at one point, the teachers are talking to you. You know, their job is to nurture America's youth.
Right.
And they got you going on Abby, and you were like 2 seconds away from sobbing.
Yeah, I know. I can't help it. I'm a cry drunk.
See, I didn't know what you were doing in the front of the bus there, but I did think it was weird that Steven jumped on the microphone and just said,
"How long are you going to talk?"
Yeah.
I love Steven.
Yeah, man. Good guy.
He's such a nice dude.
We got to meet his beloved wife as well. What a lady.
Yeah.
Sauce, you know the bit from The Office where Jim and Dwight are in the break room and Dwight's talking about preparing for the apocalypse?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then Jim's like, what about 6 months?
That's a possibility.
What about 10 months?
Yeah, I could see that happening.
What about 2 years? And they go through that bit, and Jim just keeps upping the number, and Dwight answers it honestly. Like, yeah, that's a scenario that's I could see play out.
Yeah, that could happen.
Really nice dude on the trip. On Saturday night in the hotel in Kansas City, he goes, hey, and he's hammered, of course. Hey, what? 10 years ago, would you have ever guessed the show was going to be this popular? And I was like, well, we were hoping it was going to be this popular. It was a grind, but we were hoping we would get this far. But did you like believe it? It's like, sure. And then he goes, what if I had asked you 2 years ago? Like, I was like, well, then, yeah, 2 years ago, we definitely felt like we had made it. What about like 6 years ago? So he asked me like three or four different time frames. And then yesterday we're at McDonald's in the middle of nowhere, right? Iowa or Missouri. I don't know where we were. And I'm in line next to him. He goes, can I ask you a question? I think he forgot he asked me the night before. If I had asked you 5 years ago, if there'd be 30 people in line behind you at McDonald's that were all with you, would you have believed it? I was like, this is a derivative of the question you asked last night. Right. I go, yes, I would have believed it 5 years ago. What about 1 year ago? I'm like, I think we've established that we've all worked hard to get to this point, and this was the goal. Yes. Super nice guy, though. I just don't think he asked me the same question 10 times.
Yeah, I had the guy that told me he saw me in Monticello at River City Extreme doing stand-up, which I'm doing a week from Friday. You can get your tickets at rivercityextreme.com.
Is that Bogarts?
No, that's this Friday. Thanks for asking, Hogs. Right, BogartsEntertainment.com. Two shows. Get your tickets. As Hockey says, that's a sweet room to play.
It is.
I think he told me minimum 15 times. And I was like, cool, man, thanks. And then he's hammered, dude, but
they're the worst.
If I'm in their situation, I do the exact same thing. You don't have to drive for 2 days.
The best. And check this out. Here's a better story for you guys. And again, people who listen to the show, constant listeners, will get that I'm not making this up. I got really, really drunk with a guy on the bus, and then found out the next morning he was a former Minnesota Twin great.
Al Newman.
I had no idea.
Al Newman was on our bus.
I had no idea that was him. I'm like, what? Yeah, Al Newman played for the Twins. Who?
Yeah, and you. Yeah, it was
the
before,
guy I got wasted with.
It was before you got here, so you don't know who Al Newman is,
no
right?
No clue.
Sauce and I grew up with Al Newman, right?
Yeah, and he at one point gets on the bus, and he's right behind me, and he puts his arms on me and goes, I like hugs. I'm like, thanks, Al. Yeah.
At one of our rest stops on the way down there, when Al was absolutely obliterated drunk, and the whole back of the bus was hammered.
We were all smashed.
We all got off for a bathroom break, and this one guy comes up to me and goes, guys, I'm getting hammered with Al Newman. I'm like, that's cool. And he goes, he's telling me all these stories from the championship team. I didn't know I was worthy. Like, it was some honor to be told baseball stories by a drunken Al Newman.
What a great guy, man.
Al was
having so much fun together.
He was having the best time ever.
And he never once told me, by the way, do you know who I am? I mean, we got wasted.
Right, but it wouldn't have worked on you.
Yeah, I would have been like, cool, Alfred E. Newman, I love Mad Magazine.
That would have been a great, like, humbling moment. He would have been like, hey, just between you and me, I'm Al Newman. Chris would have been like, that means nothing to me, buddy. I don't know what that means.
I realize I work at a sports station, but never heard of
it. He was a regular on Barrero's show.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was having fun, man.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Third base coach, too, right?
The I think twins? So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's where I know.
Call a sports station and ask him.
Yeah.
No idea.
We made our way down to Kansas City, had a great time. Thank you, Drifting Lines, all the people who came with us. Let's do it again. And then this happened.
To win the game from 44 yards, it'll be between the hash marks. James Winchester snaps. Dustin Colquitt holds. 23-23. Snap spot. Butker's right-footed knuckleball is good, and the Kansas City Chiefs have beaten the Minnesota Vikings.
No.
What's a knuckleball?
It's a ball that doesn't move.
Yeah.
What do you think it means?
Well, So I'm asking the sports station.
Careful, Brianne.
Yeah, it literally looks like it's being blown in the wind because it's not spinning.
Hang on. What?
Jesus.
Look at you.
Yeah.
See? Not yeah, no. Great. You'd know it if you saw it because it looks like a knuckle, I guess.
Yeah, so they lost to Matt Moore.
Yeah, they did.
Damn it.
And he played very well. He really did. Here's some dude from the Chiefs. No, Damian Williams, the running back, on the fact that there were a lot of Vikings fans.
Just to see, you know, how much purple was in our stadium, I feel like, you know, we took that as disrespect. You know, we're at home. We want to look like we're at home. So, you know, having to see that and coming in here, everybody, you know, kind of looked at each other like, hey, this is our house.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like calling out your fans. Ask Mark Parrish how that worked for him in New York.
Right. He hasn't been on the team since.
Nothing like, hey, I showed up for work and all of our garbage fans didn't show up, so I hated that. That was disrespectful that our season ticket holders stayed home because we suck.
I'm sure they made a ton of money selling their tickets, just like Packer fans
do. Why not? Hey, did you guys notice our view from the press box could see both sides of the tailgating, right? Out both sides of the stadium. Do you see how different it looked when the game started? And I don't mean just because obviously there were people in the parking lots, but just this sea of like red flags and red this and red that. And by the time the game started, it just looked like a parking lot.
Yeah.
It was weird how it just disappeared.
Yeah.
Like this sea of red that's there for the tailgating. All of that stuff gets taken down before they go in. And then it just looks like a car dealership.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I was up in Arden Hills yesterday because my brother just passed his driving test. And we were driving by where they were going to put that stadium. Yeah. And I was shaking my head. I mean, the pictures, the videos I saw from friends, because I had probably about 20, 25 friends of mine down there partying. And that whole atmosphere, I mean, I just wish we could have done that here. It's too bad.
Well, let's start a petition. Let's get it going.
Yeah. R.I.P. I guess.
We'll have Rage Against the Machine play our protest. And
yeah. Who's paying for that?
Hawk can afford it now.
Yeah, he can. What does he care?
He doesn't care. What really matters is next. And Ben Lieber in 27 minutes. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan.
The Fan.
Power Trip Morning Show, home of your Minnesota Vikings and your undefeated Minnesota Golden Gophers. The big game of the century happens this weekend on this radio station. Penn State.
Well, should we start there when we do What Really Matters? Let's start with Golden Gopher football, shall we?
Sure. Good morning, Jessica.
That's the positivity, right? Penn State and Gophers Saturday at 11 o'clock. National TV, but more importantly, right here on The Fan. 8-0 versus 8-0. Statement game for P.J. Fleck and the Golden Gophers.
Yes.
Over the weekend, Florida State fired Willie Taggart after less than 2 years with something like $17 million still left the hook.
See you later.
And there's all these rumors that they found a whole bunch of donors to quickly round up about $20 million to get rid of them. They're denying it. So there's, I don't know if scandal is the right word, but there's a lot of like, geez, did they really try to go door to door and say, please raise some money so we can get rid of this guy?
Sir, please.
So on ESPN.com, if you scroll down and then scroll down and then scroll down, there's a little story that says, what's next for Florida State after firing Willie Taggart? And this is an ESPN Plus story, so you have to have a membership, so I didn't read it.
Yeah, why would you pay for that?
Right, I'm not going to. But the picture that's attached to what's next for Florida State after firing Willie Taggart. Anybody want to guess?
Yeah, I have a giant guess.
I mean, it's pretty easy.
Is he in a boat?
He's not currently in a boat in this picture, no.
Oh. Is it
Sky Yuma?
It's a picture of PJ Fleck.
Oh.
Now, maybe in this ESPN Plus article that I don't have access to because I'm not willing to pay for it, maybe they say 0% chance Florida State hates PJ Fleck. Or maybe it's PJ's the number one target. I don't know. I didn't click on it because I don't have access to it. Mm-hmm. My guess is...
Why not?
That they're suggesting that he may be the answer at Florida State.
Can I say one thing? And this isn't negative, PJ. I actually have kind of found myself saying nice things about him because he deserves it because of how good this football team has become. Mm. This is the year, if there's any year, for him to get up and leave. Because Notre Dame might come available. USC's definitely coming available. And now Florida State's available. These jobs, in 4 or 5 years from now, when you maybe your schedule gets tougher, maybe you can't, you know, other things happen. Michigan turns it around. Something else happens. And you go, oh, man, I should have taken that opportunity. There will be so many dynamite college football opportunities that if he sticks around, that means he's in it for the long haul.
And if PJ does stick around, he's going to have to get a raise.
A giant raise.
Because the offers from schools like Florida State or USC, if they do come calling, my guess is they are, what, $2-3 million more a year?
Oh, I bet eight. I bet they'd pay $8 million bucks.
And what's PJ making? Almost three?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Sky Yuma.
And next year, Florida State's had to be available. Michigan, whatever the jobs that are available this year, won't be available next year.
At some point between Mark Coyle and PJ Fleck, they're going to have a really, really difficult conversation.
I eat difficult conversations for breakfast.
Then don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What really matters, though, is
he
this.
Enjoys him. He likes him a lot. About 35% of people never, ever, ever get their wisdom teeth. I've had mine yanked out. Anybody?
I had I only had the top two, but I had them both removed.
Yeah, I've had the top two removed. I have the bottom two.
Mm. Still so got mine.
Yeah. You have all four?
Caveman.
I'm not. Jeez. Wow.
You got all four?
I got all of them, man. I don't need to yank them out. They're fine where they are. They were meant to be there. Leave my wisdom teeth alone.
Why are they called wisdom teeth?
Exactly what I was thinking. I don't know.
The size?
Yeah.
But what does that have to do with wisdom? Yeah.
They're large, like a large brain, and if you have a large brain, you have a lot of wisdom.
Again.
That's true.
That seems like a massive stretch, what you just did there. Brianne, how many do you have?
None. All gone.
Taken out, or you just never had them in?
Well, no, I'm not one of those anomalies. Yeah, I had all four taken out.
All this four taken out.
Awful process.
This, according to Wikipedia, although formerly known as third molars, the common name is wisdom teeth because they appear so late, much later than the other teeth, at an age where people are presumably wiser than as they were as a child. That's how they're called wisdom teeth.
Fake news.
Hmm. Interesting. Are we buying that?
No.
I mean, sure, whatever. Oh, what do I care? I've moved on. The Minnesota Timberwolves tonight host the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks at 7 o'clock.
Hawk can't wait.
The Wolves are 4-1.
Yeah, awesome.
Hell yeah, dude.
Jarrett Culver scored like 20 a night or so ago.
Yeah.
They're 4-1.
This is their last game without Cat.
Yeah, and they are 6-point dogs at home.
Gee.
All right.
Against the 4-2 Milwaukee Bucks, the Drunken Scotties. What really matters, by the way, the over-under is 230.5. What really matters is this.
An extension of Grand Central Station, Track 61, was built in the 1930s to help President Roosevelt keep his polio diagnosis private.
Uh-huh.
While communicating between New York and Washington, D.C. It goes underneath the Waldorf Astoria. Roosevelt's private train car hasn't moved since his death in 1945. It's still sitting there.
Wow.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
I don't want to bring the room down, but I'm going to because I couldn't believe it. Did you guys see the video over the weekend of the dad that killed himself in front of the subway?
No. What?
A dad.
Oh, come on.
Hang on. It's a slightly happy ending.
What?
I said slightly.
What are you into?
Wait till the
Is
rest
there
of it.
Proof of heaven now?
Wait till the rest of it.
How does this end well?
A guy bear hugs his 5-year-old daughter and intentionally jumps in front of a subway holding his 5-year-old daughter.
What?
He dies. She take some lumps and some bruises and some lacerations. I don't know how significant the lacerations were. And people jumped onto the tracks. Subway stops, or the train stops, excuse me. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't a subway. Maybe it was it may have been an above ground train. Doesn't matter. They jump onto the tracks. They get her out. And she's even saying things like, "What happened to my daddy?"
Oh, dear God, dude.
But she survived. The 5-year-old survived. But this piece of garbage, tried to take himself and his five-year-old daughter out. He half succeeded because he died, but she survived. Yeah, the video is on CNN.com of the two guys that jumped down under the tracks to save her. And there's this little girl with a cute backpack. They blurred her face out, but and that's fine. Yep, got a backpack, and they're pulling her from out from underneath the train.
My God, Corey.
Yep. Hey, she's okay.
Yeah, I doubt emotionally.
Well, no, and she's going to have to go through a lot of therapy at some point as an adult to work through that, but whatever. It's better than being dead.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Man.
Man, that's
yep, that's a day brighter.
Mental health issues are terrible.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Mm. Exactly. Who knows what that guy was going through, but the fact that he tried to take her out with him, I don't know. I lose a lot of sympathy pretty quickly for him when that's the plan. Anyway, what really matters, though, is this. This is murder, right? Yeah. I mean, that's attempted murder.
Yeah.
We just changed our clocks, and we hated it. According to a new survey, almost three-quarters of Americans say they wish the time would just stay the same all year long.
I'm fine with that.
Around 40% want standard time all year, and about 30% want daylight saving time. The other 20% had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, that was Rosie.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Hogsley likes when it gets dark at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, because that means it's Christmas time.
That's how many states don't adhere to daylight savings? Is it like three? Isn't it like Arizona?
I don't know. Jamaica.
Arizona, Hawaii.
So yeah, Arizona, when we see Rage Against the Machine, it'll just be normal time.
It's normal time.
We won't have to ask what time it is.
No, great point, Chicago.
We'll never have to look at our phone and say, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, we'll just go.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Yeah, well played.
The Minnesota Wild are red hot. They've lost three consecutive games. They are at the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow night. Yeah, no kidding. At 9 o'clock. The Wild are in seventh place in the division. That's out of seven. They're 4-9-1. What really matters is this.
Remember last weekend I told you that I just mowed my leaves right into the ground. I had no idea I was doing it right the whole time.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Another example of my laziness working out correctly. According to a new study, if you do a terrible job wrapping your presents, people you give them to actually like them more.
Huh.
It all comes down to setting expectations. When something's wrapped nicely, it sets an expectation that the gift is really good. And that means there's a good chance you're going to be disappointed. If you just phone it in, basically leave it in the Target bag like I do, then people are going to be like, this is garbage. And they open it up and it's not garbage. And they're happy.
Interesting.
How about that? I've been doing it right, bitch.
Sauce, are you a good present wrapper, Sauce?
Yeah, because I, in a past life, had to learn how to do it because the family that I married into didn't let me just slide and everything like the family I'm currently in, so they made me do it. And I learned, with my then mother-in-law, and it was a hell of a good time because we would get hammered. So, yes, I am really good at it.
Nice.
Are you, Cor?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm
very content with my wrapping skills.
It's a skill everyone
should present wrapping skills, not my, like, you know,
it's all about folding the corners.
But you know how, like, I mean, most people do a really good job, and they use the scissors and stuff. On Christmas Eve night, you hear a lot of this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Hawks hammer.
I just tear it. I don't care. Yeah.
Well,
I've been
two things. Whoever invented the wrapping paper that has the grid on the back of it so you can follow exactly where you're cutting, give that guy or gal $1 billion because it's genius. And then number two, the people that say, you only need three pieces of tape to wrap it.
Lies.
No.
Look. I can afford as much tape as I want to use.
No one asked you.
Right. Oh, no, I'm wasting tape? I'll wrap the present in tape if I want to. I don't care.
America.
Who's keeping track of how many pieces of tape I use?
I'll buy rolls of tape and throw them out if I want.
I'd like to see you do that.
Okay.
What really matters, though, is this.
I just did one.
Oh, God. More sports? Fine, hang on. Let me click on a stupid-ass NFL score. What we got here? You tell I'm super prepped for today?
Yeah, sounds like you might have got home at 1 in the morning.
Let's see, that game doesn't interest me.
You know what?
That
I'm going to go ahead and do another story because I don't want to hear about more people dying.
Yeah, no one wants to hear about
that. We go.
She survived!
No, but we don't have to hear about it.
Watch
According
the video,
to
though.
Pornhub.
Oh, here we go.
We watch a lot of porn.
Zach and Sauce just turned their chairs 180 just to see. They need to see you read this.
According to Pornhub, they streamed 4,403 petabytes of porn in 2018. A petabyte is 1 million gigabytes.
Careful.
Yeah, careful, petabyte.
If that's the case, you also should ask for your money back.
Yeah, right.
One data expert broke it down like this. At 100 million users, that's 34 gigabytes per person, or roughly 50 minutes per week of porn. Which sounds about right, I guess.
50? 50?
Yeah.
For the average user.
Yeah, spread out over 5 days. It's 10 minutes apiece.
Yeah, there's 7 days in a week.
Sauce?
I bet I knew that.
10 a day?
Probably.
Yeah.
Hockey?
I like that you took it so seriously. Hockey? You were trying to do the math in your head.
When he knew the answer.
Ask hockey.
Yeah.
Over or under 10 minutes a day, Chris?
That's about right. I'd say it's about exactly right. Maybe a little less than that, but yeah, that's about right.
Over or under 10 hours a day for you?
Well, under 10 hours. I don't know. I guess it would be under because I like to use the noggin more than the screen.
Oh, you like imagination?
Yeah, it's much better that way. Much easier to get into the
Magorium?
Yeah. The Spank Bank is a lot better.
Okay.
Dude. Man.
Seems like you have something to say.
Hey, how'd the Notre Dame thing go?
It was great. Had a great time.
To the Spank Bank during your broadcast?
Did not mention that.
How'd it go?
No, it was awesome. It was you know, a lot of work. My I was telling Hawk, my mouth was really tired after the first game because you're talking.
You had to earn that job somehow.
Yeah. Then how did the play-by-play go?
Just complaining about a Peter bite.
Yeah.
So this is how you get all those opportunities?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Brianna, it's not over for you. I'm glad you're here, though. You're the only person we know that agreed to make out with Sauce. Everybody else hemmed and hawed and said no.
Yeah, half the people quit.
Yeah. You're the only one that wants, you know, to
I'll
be a part
be
of this
fired,
show, right?
So, I mean,
anything for the show. That's the right attitude.
Yep.
No. We might have to recruit others, because I don't want you to be the only one. That puts a lot of pressure on you, too.
I can handle it.
All right. Ben Lieber joins next. He's back from Kansas City as well. We'll go through some scores. And, of course, the news is next with Chris Hockey as well. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan.
Tommy's Tailgates. Join Power Trip contributor and former Gopher offensive lineman Tommy Olson at Buffalo Wild Wings in Dinkytown for 2 hours before Gopher football kicks off for home games this season. Come enjoy truly hard seltzer, Red Bull, and Coors Light drink specials with our guy, Tommy Olson. KFAN.com, keyword events.
Thank you, Bree, and welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show 702. Ben Lieber's in the studio. Hi, Ben.
What's up, Hawk?
Man, we're so refreshed, you and me. It's incredible, isn't it?
You're just going to needle these guys. You know the funny thing is, I'm actually not refreshed.
Me
I don't
either,
know what
you're tired,
dude. I mean, I got sweatpants on, a hoodie. Like I just
your weekends are very hard.
I just feel like I just want to crawl back into bed. And
that's what I'm doing at 9:01.
Yeah, that's 90 hours well. More sleep.
Yeah. Hey, Hogs.
Yes, sir.
It's time for our national cash contest.
Ooh.
Text the keyword key. That's key to 200-200. Standard text messaging and data rates apply.
Sky Yuma.
Yeah, Sky Yuma.
Wow, how keyword. About that?
How about it?
Yeah.
What do you think,
No, I'm not talking about Penn State thing. I'm talking
the
about
Florida State rumor?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, and it doesn't have to be Florida State, but what do you think, for real? I mean, you've talked to him a little bit, but you also know football, and you know college football very well.
Yeah.
You can't say no to big offers. You can't.
I don't know. He seems pretty... Obviously, he's very smart. I don't think that he's absent of another big program asking. I don't see him going to USC, even if he's a serious candidate, just because... I would look at Joe Moorhead's situation from Penn State. Joe Moorhead, he's a Northeast upper Midwest guy, and the fact that that's his recruiting base, that's where everybody knows him. he goes to Mississippi State to take over the head coaching job, and it's just been an utter disaster. Because certain teams and certain conferences and certain cultures, like, well, they want one of theirs. Like, they want somebody that has been there before, that has had recruiting ties there before, at least has gone into the high schools before. That probably wouldn't happen with him at USC. I know that he probably has some connection out there, but I think that that recruiting base would need a little bit more of a California presence. He does recruit Florida, so he knows Florida. So Florida State would not be totally outside the realm of his connections. So that's a possibility. Obviously, Notre Dame would be a huge thing for him because that's his whole base. I mean, that's that area of the country is all that's all he knows. I just don't know if the crusties at Notre Dame would want a big, young, fiery guy like that. You know, I think that's maybe just a personality clash with their board and everybody that does the hiring at Notre Dame. So I don't know, but whatever, he's just going to leverage all, well, get a ton of money from Minnesota.
Either way, we have to get to the bottom of this.
Media, you have a job to do.
We will.
Notre Dame loses to Virginia Tech. That Notre Dame job becomes more and more available.
Yeah, and I think that they're just kind of stuck in this. I feel like their wheels are spinning. Kelly's done a nice job of making them more relevant, but they have yet to have those big defining wins and really stay at the top of the national conversation. And it's a tough job. I'm not even sure that's a job I'd really, really want. I mean, you talk about feet to the fire every single game. I know he'd want that pressure, but man, that just seems like, unless you're winning national championship after national championship, it's going to be hard to sustain there.
You're everything to me.
It's so weird that we were in the same city and I didn't see you once. I guess I technically saw you. You just didn't see me. I saw you on the sidelines walking around. But
I tried to look through the glass to see you.
Yeah, I wasn't really sitting next to PA. I was down the hall.
Yeah, we're just in the media, the regular media area.
And look, this is like rich people problems, but when you get press box seats, it's really weird how
quiet.
Yes, like when I went to Lambeau for the first time,
how sterile,
and everybody says, "Man, you got to experience Lambeau." Blah 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 blah. Well, the first time I went as a media member. It's a damn library because the glass closes off all the sound. I went later with my mom for her 60th birthday. We went to a Packer game in the stands, and it was way way better. Same thing with Arrowhead. Behind that glass, it's a dead experience.
The first time doing games with you for a fan line, and I was actually a part of the quote-unquote media. It's the first time I've ever watched a game from that vantage point and being in the media area. And it's like a big play, and then you barely hear a little roar.
Barely,
it's like, it's like Corey Cove, 20 yards reception.
Oh, sweet. Well, good catch.
Yeah, yeah. Nice, dude.
One-hander.
Yeah. But I'm like, that's it? No, but I'm like, this sucks. Like, I would fall asleep in there.
That's why U.S. Bank Stadium gets really loud, and clearly the press box is not glassed off. Is there anybody not doing their job? I think all of us can figure out how to do their job with a little bit of noise. Not the end of the world.
Gotta have noise. You gotta have
quiet
noise.
Down. I'm trying to write my tweets.
Type on my laptop.
You're distracting me from my Twitter account. I mean, come and give me a break. Whatever.
Yeah, but overall, though, what did you think of Arrowhead, just the experience? I mean, I know it's probably hard because the game itself, you want to hear the noise and the ambiance and feel it. But
so I'm the wrong person to ask because I'm at the point in my life personally at 39, I have zero interest in tailgating. So yeah. Even though the tailgating looked spectacular, if that's your thing, if you're into it, that looked like the place to be.
Yeah.
Party as far as you can see. Tailgating lot was gigantic, epic. Everybody was going for it. Everybody else looked like they were having a great time. So if you're into that, cool. I'm at the point, though, that didn't do anything for me. Sports aren't my thing necessarily anymore. Then it was the library effect. So if you like sports, if you like NFL football, I can totally see why that was about as good as it gets. Totally get it.
Yeah. Sauce.
Totally, totally get it.
I thought it was sweet, dude. Like, I stood behind PA and helped hockey with some stuff.
Yep.
When we had the headphones on, it was sick. The crowd noise, the energy. The second you took them off, it was the weirdest feeling ever
because
it's like you weren't there.
Yeah. Right.
It's like that was just going on 20 miles away. It was.
You were on the sidelines. How loud was it in the stadium?
It's loud. you know, Hawk asked me one time just how was the crowd noise. And early on in the game, I'm like, ah, it's all right. It's not that great. And then later in the game, when it got to be crunch time, I just popped one of my earbuds out. I'm like, it's pretty damn loud. Mm. Like, it's pretty loud. Like, it's not 142.2 loud, but because, you know, you got to get all of the Vikings fans and Chiefs fans to cheer at the same time. And the time that I pulled my earbud out, it was just when the Chiefs fans were getting loud. So it was loud, and you can understand why if it wasn't 50% Vikings fans and it was all Chiefs fans and they're trying to set a record, that sucker would get loud. Like, I know a lot of people are like, well, that record, they pumped in noise for that, and that there's just no way. I'm like, I don't know. There's something about that stadium, though, that when that crowd gets going, and I've been there as a player, it's deafening loud. I mean, it's as loud as, and I'm sure the Superdome is loud. Obviously, U.S. Bank, the Metrodome was loud. But there's something about that outdoor stadium. It just seems louder.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Cool look, though.
Yeah, it is cool.
All right, we got a million Vikings questions to get to, but first we got to do the news with Chris.
This is KFAN News with Chris Hockey.
Hi, I'm Chris Hockey, and I give you the hard news. St. Paul is struggling with what soon may be the deadliest year ever. Another gun homicide over this weekend brought the citywide tally this year to 28. The police chief, Todd Axtell, increased patrols across the city in September after three men were shot to death in less than 12 hours. Mayor Melvin Carter encouraged residents to attend a series of public safety forums that begin this week. The first meeting is Thursday night at Central Baptist Church. Take care of each other, for God's sakes. Daylight savings may be bad for your health. Researchers say the incidence of heart attacks increase around the time change in both spring and fall. The time change also coincides with a rise in traffic accidents and sleep deprivation, which can lead to more workplace injuries and emergency room visits. In other words, you're probably sleepy, so be careful.
I don't understand the sleep deprivation if you gained an hour.
Yeah.
Right, but...
I know your clock's off,
you went to bed at 9:30, but it was really 10:30. You know what I mean? So your body's not used to... You think you're going to bed at your normal bedtime. You think you're going to bed at 10, but in reality, you're going to bed at 11.
Hmm?
No, it's the opposite.
The opposite. When you're thinking about springtime.
Yeah. So then it's the opposite.
You're gaining an hour.
But you're getting up an hour earlier than you're used to. Even if you are getting the same amount of sleep, your body's used to getting up at 3:15.
Right, but what I don't
understand... You're getting up at 2:15.
What I don't understand, though, is the day of... Maybe it takes you a couple days again to get your clock set.
Right.
But... If you go to bed, because it changes on a weekend, it changes on Saturday, right?
Saturday.
If you go to bed and get 8 hours of sleep, then sure, the number on the clock is different, but your internal clock should be almost identical.
Well, that's the thing. It's not. In fact, if I may, instead of using my own stupid words, use smart words.
Go for it.
The switching to daylight savings time disrupts the body's natural rhythm, which has a negative effect on health.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things here. Corey, you're talking about what just happened, and then what you just said is the springtime, like switching to daylight saving time.
That one messes me up,
yeah,
too.
When you leap forward and spring forward, yes, I can understand how that happens. But when you fall back...
Bonus sleep time.
Yeah, it's bonus sleep time. Like, you're going to bed, because the clock doesn't turn until like 2 a.m. or something like that, right? So most people are already in bed at their normal time. So if your bedtime is 11 o'clock... It's 11 o'clock on that Saturday night, no matter what. And then you're gaining that hour of sleep in the middle of the night before you even know it.
And if I went to bed at the same time every night and got up like for work at the same time every day, I would get it. But on the weekends, the amount of sleep I get almost completely depends on what time the dog barks or the little one gets up. So sometimes I get 6, sometimes I get 9, right? Like, I sleep until I'm woken up on the weekends.
Church service for you on Sundays is the same time.
Yeah, regardless, you always, at the same time.
You go to the first one, so you go to 7 a.m.
This is
going to
shock you. Since I was in Kansas City, I skipped this week.
Oh, man.
Did you?
I did.
Sometimes you get 6, sometimes you get 9, Corey.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
I didn't go.
Well, that's why they have daytime masses and services stuff.
I was at the
weekday masses.
At the game, so I missed it.
You can make it up, though.
I won't, though.
SpaceX, which is not where you think it is.
Oh, damn it.
Is conducting safety tests of its Crew Dragon, a capsule that the company plans to eventually use to send humans into space.
Hang on, back up. I didn't listen to a word you just said, because when you said SpaceX and then you said it's not what you think it is.
Right.
Do you think anybody's ever, is there any documentation about humans hooking up in space yet?
Boy, I don't know.
Ooh.
we're talking, what, a little over 50 years of space travel?
Somebody's had to get it on. Somebody's had to.
Has anybody gotten it on while in space yet?
I'm sure American and some Russian. Just...
Seriously, I need to know if there's documentation.
Because it'd be one thing to be the first man on the moon.
If you believe.
Be another thing to be the first man to...
Yeah, but still, even if it's not sex, if you're a cosmonaut or an astronaut or whatever you are, and you're up there for a year at a time, you're flushing those pipes anyway.
Yeah. Look at my cosmonauts.
No official record, but...
Wow. Okay.
What do you do with that?
I don't know. Anyway, you were saying now? Can you just start that story over?
Sure.
I was distracted.
SpaceX is conducting safety tests of its Crew Dragon, a capsule that the company plans to eventually use to send humans into space. A video of the most recent test posted Sunday shows a stand-in capsule getting dropped from an airplane and landing on the ground with only three of its four main parachutes working. The company said the test was successful, even if parachute failure was an unlikely event. SpaceX and NASA are hoping the capsule will be able to carry people to the International Space Station as early as next year.
Huh?
And so somebody will definitely have sex in space.
Yeah. Obviously.
When that happens. Yeah. Join the 8 Miles High Club.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take the United States of America and the world to accept that airplane travel was safe? I mean, decades probably, right? Before they felt really, really, really good about it.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about self-driving cars. I know the technology's there, but as a guy that's grown up my entire life without that, that transition for me is going to be very weird. How many decades of, let's say, round-the-clock safety would you need to feel confident to go to space? Or is this just something that this group that is in this room right now, because of the time that we lived in, we're always going to be afraid of it? Because let's say it launches next year and it's safe and people are going up to space all the time that can afford it. Our kids are going to just think that's normal. So they probably won't fear it the same way kids probably don't fear airplane travel. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel comfortable going to space.
Yeah, I don't think I ever would. I'd like to say, just because it sounds like a long enough time. I feel like 10 years, but I don't know if even in my lifetime I'd be like, yeah, I'm just going to go up to space.
Right. At that point, you'd be in your early 50s and you'd have to say, is it even worth it
correct.
To go? I don't know. I just think a lot of us are never going to be comfortable with it. But there's a lot of people with a lot of money that say, please find a way to get me up there because I want to go. And good for them. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever
do
it.
I'm fine with staying here.
I'd be too scared. I think I'd only want to do the re-entry. I think I'd go up there, obviously, to do the views. I think I'd be more excited to do the re-entry, though.
Isn't it always?
Uh-huh. Multiple times.
I got to think the whole thing blows your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Because once you get up there, the feeling has to be so surreal and abnormal. The fear always has to be there, right? It's the whole...
Yeah, the takeoff's got to be pretty impressive.
That's got to be super terrifying, though.
Yeah.
The men and women that do it already, unbelievably brave.
Absolutely.
Crazy. Good for them.
It's time for Fan 5, brought to you this hour by Culligan Bottled Water.
Thanks, Culligan!
Thanks, Culligan.
The Vikings lost 26-23 to the Chiefs on a last-second 44-yard field goal. Kirk was 19 of 38 for 220 yards and three touchdowns. Dalvin Cook, 21 carries and 71 yards. He had three catches for 45 yards. Treadwell led the team with three catches for 58 yards. Ben Lieber.
Good for him. Obviously, when Thielen realized he couldn't go early in the game, somebody had to step up. And, you know, listen, I've criticized Treadwell as much as anybody in his time here. And it sounds like that when he came back, that they were pleasantly surprised with his approach. He feels like it was good for him, I think, to reanalyze his game and the things that he needed to work on. And so far, so good, man. When it's a critical situation and a guy goes down and all of a sudden now they're counting on you to be the guy, he's stepped up. So we needed somebody to do that. Obviously, I don't know why Diggs wasn't more a part of it, but there was something about the offensive flow overall that just didn't work in our favor. And I guess you have to credit Spagnuolo for being prepared and being ready to go. None of our boots, none of our perimeter game were really there. They pretty much smothered all of our available options. And that's the catch when you do anything outside the pocket is most quarterbacks. Now, if we compare him to like Kirk to a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you know, Mahomes can roll out to his right and still have the full field to throw to, but 99% of most quarterbacks can't. And that's why you limit the amount of times you do that, because you cut off half of the field. And sometimes even more than that, because if you keep rolling out, everybody says don't throw across your body. Well, even thrown to the near hash technically can be across your body. So you're really cutting the field in thirds. And when there's nothing there and you don't have a running quarterback, not a whole lot of options, you know. So you're really limited on what you can do when you do call those bootlegs and there's nothing there. So credit to their defense. They played well. I mean, they got us. They took advantage of the guys inside on our offensive line and just beat us up. They had a bunch of guys running the football in the run game. Dalvin couldn't get a lot of going except late in the second half where he would scoot for 7 or 8 yards and, you know, break off a 12-yarder. But there was no rhythm to the offense, and that's the frustrating part.
Diggsy, one catch for 4 yards. The defense had 5 sacks. Tyreek Hill, 6 catches for 140 yards and a touchdown. Both teams are 6-3. Wolves play the Bucks tonight in Milwaukee. The Bucks are 4-2, and the Wolves
here, isn't it?
Are 4-1. I think it's in Milwaukee.
It's here.
Oh, then it's here. Sorry, my bad. They will be without Karl-Anthony Towns. He will be serving his last game of his suspension. Wild take on Anaheim, that being the Ducks, tomorrow in Anaheim at 9 p.m. The Wild are 4-9-1, and Florida State fired their head coach after 1.5 seasons.
Sky Yuma.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you guys want to take any sort of bets on that?
On the Florida State job, or yeah, just PJ leaving? Or both?
Boy.
Well, don't you think these last 4 games, if he goes 3-1 or yeah, something like that,
yeah,
then he's going to be an unbelievably hot commodity.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he goes 1-3, he probably still gets a little bit of a raise, but 1-3 doesn't get you out the door.
No, I mean, obviously he still has a lot to prove.
But he's close.
But again, he's close. And sort of like how he was hired here, you see the glimpses of him just being a really good coach outside of just the energy. And I think people now on the national level are starting to realize that, like, this guy can actually coach. Like, we all knew that he was a good recruiter, but his assistants can actually coach. And they're getting recruits into Minneapolis, which is kind of tough. And he's getting these guys to play. So, yeah, the rest of the season is going to prove large for him when it comes to other universities looking at him.
Lots of things to ask Ben when it comes to the Vikings between now and 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan.
It's Chris
to the Fan.
Welcome back to the Patrick Morning Show, 728. It's a Monday. It's November 4th, by the way. Thank you for tuning in to your little Patrick. Ben Lieber's here, and it's time to go around the room. It's 74,000 questions with Ben Lieber.
All right, let's come right out of the box with hot negativity, Ben. Real hot negativity. Ready?
So many jokes.
Okay.
You and your hot negativity everywhere.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how it works.
It's like the devil cranking it.
Yeah.
No. Let's go negative though
right.
First.
Okay.
Give me a percent chance Pat Elflein's on this team next year. At all. Even as a backup.
As a backup? Yeah, I think it's pretty high.
But what about a starter then? Because at this point, couldn't you say out of every starter on both sides of the ball, he's our biggest liability?
It seems like that.
What happened?
Is it all position change?
Because, dude, 2 years ago, it was like, wow, what a nice find that Spielman, like, you know, found this guy. What a beast. People were saying, like, you know, this is going to be our 10-year guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is this all? I mean, I know he fell off a little bit at center before they drafted Bradbury. But to go from where he was to where he is, he went from pretty goddamn good to he's had a little bit of a sophomore slump to now he's a giant liability.
Yeah.
What happened?
It's a position change. You're going against different cats, like guys that are just built differently. And, you know, you're going against a guy like Linval playing center where he's just a big guy and you maybe just have to move him a little bit. Get your hands on him. You can position block a little bit versus a guy like Shamar Stephen or Chris Jones, like yesterday. You know, a guy that's, you know, bigger, faster, longer arms, longer leverage. They're just quicker at three technique, and you have to go against those guys. And you can see how he's just a short and stature guy, compact, a little squatty, not super long arms, and he's just not holding up. Mm. It's not and. And the thing about offensive line is, and I feel bad for him because it's a little bit like corner, where you could have 40 plays, stout, great, grayed out perfectly. You give up one sack?
The way that he did, too, right?
Well, the way that he did,
Bursich had one of the lines of the day when he basically said he thinks that Pat Elflein should get a half a sack for that one as well.
Yeah.
Because he got bull rushed so badly that Chris Jones just threw Pat Elflein into Kirk, and then Kirk collapsed like under him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, I don't remember the last time I saw an offensive lineman get just trucked like that into a quarterback.
Yeah. So I think that's the tough part about it, too, is could he technically be grading out all right? Sure. But the optics that we see looks real bad. Mm. And it looks like it just comes up every single game. And we're certainly not seeing that from, you know, Josh Klein, I think, has been a nice surprise. Maybe there's an expectation issue there where we didn't expect much and he's playing better than we expected, but he seems to be having a solid season. You know, O'Neal, we don't see him getting pushed back and like giving up a lot of sacks. So I would think of the five guys, and Bradbury's had his issues too, but again, expectations for us as fan bases, rookie. That's an easy out. Rookie mistake. He's still learning. He's still learning how to play. He's still learning to go against these guys, different guys in the NFL than versus the ACC. But with Elflein, man, it's too often. Too often, it seems like he's the liability.
Does this team have a secondary issue? Yesterday, we saw Tyreek Hill have six catches for 140 yards and a touchdown. And every time they seem to need a big play to keep a drive going, they got it through the air.
Yes, I feel like, yes, they do have a secondary issue. And I don't want to say that it's secondary as in like Harrison or Anthony. I want to say it's the corners and the nickels. So let me tell you my 2 cents on the first touchdown the touchdown to Tyreek early in the game. When you look at the end of that play, it is a hard play to really get on Trey Waynes about and say, look, he had to dive for that ball. That ball, it was a great ball. It was a great catch. You saw Tyreek after that 91-yard touchdown run, how fast he is. You know, I think he clocked out above the upper 22 miles an hour, which is just insane, right? So everybody knows that his quickness and his straight-ahead speed is elite. So the fact that he catches that on Trey, it's like, well, you know, he's going to get his, and these guys get paid too. The thing I don't like about that play is not only is it a play that they run all the time, that little banana route they run all the time. Like, he's had success on that. You've got an inside safety in Harrison Smith on the inside. When he's tracking towards, from his position towards the near hash, there's no reason why you need to jump on his hip and sort of overplay the inside part of that route. You have safety help. So it just seems like to me that if you're playing, if you're being a smart corner, you just stay to the outside. He's going to run right to you. And yes, he's going to have speed, but there's a lot of guys in this league that don't have, they don't match up speed for speed. Terrence Newman is a prime example of that. Why was he still making plays late in his career? Because he was smart. He just run the damn route for the guys. So I think that there's a little bit of a mental breakdown sometimes with these with the corners that we have. You know, why in the world do we at the end of the game, it's third and three, and we leave the guy that's been killing us all game alone at the number three position in a 3-by-1, and he's wide open in the middle of the field? Like that, where is that breakdown happening? That's a breakdown. I don't care what blitz you call. I don't care if it's a zero blitz. I don't care if it's a man free. I don't care if it's one robber. I don't care what it is. Everybody's accounted for at all times. I don't know where the communication breakdown was on that one. Going back, that one catch he had on Trey again where he just jumps over in this kind of body position. Again, that's just like good for him. Athletic dude, man. He made a hell of a catch. Trey had good coverage. I'm not faulting Trey on that one. I am faulting Trey a little bit on just the leverage he played with on the touchdown, and I'm absolutely faulting the whole defense because I'm not sure who was responsible in that third and three at the end of the game to set him up for the game-winning field goal. You can't have that, especially after a timeout. Can't have it.
Ben, one more thing. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll keep this going. But yesterday, after the long touchdown run of 90-plus yards that basically changed the entire game for them, I was upset at both of our safeties back there because one of them got deked out of their pants, which happens. But still, that looked bad. But you said don't blame the safeties. That was?
Well, I think it was on the linebackers. It's just an inside zone. I don't have to, like, break it down for you and what that means. But the fact that inside zone is a pretty simple play. The only catch to that play is Kelce was a... We call him a wing, he's a displaced wing tight end. So he's off the ball. He's a move tight end, which he always is. So on the snap of the ball, his big body goes across the line of scrimmage. And that's where you see Harrison Smith tracking him. So he's tracking him with speed because you got to match blocker for blocker or man for man. Because if it is a pass, well, you've got to have a guy because they run those swap boots all the time where he has that same action and he'll go out to the flat from the opposite side of the field. Well, when you bring a blocker over there, well, the linebackers have to adjust as well, and they have to rock back to the other gap. And to me, it looked like they stayed front side. The ball comes backside. Harrison could have played that ball a little bit better. He seemed like his eyes were on Kelce only and didn't realize that the ball was handed off. It was too late. And Anthony is just a safety valve. So you've got a full steam ahead of a running back making a move on a guy in open space. I'm not saying Anthony shouldn't make that play. I'm just saying that's tough. You are the last line of defense. And when you get a full head of steam and nobody touches the guy, it's more of a breakdown in the second level than it is a breakdown in the third level of the defense. So again, yes, you can chalk it up to a missed tackle from Anthony. But I'm chalking it up to a poor run fit by the linebackers. They got to be in those. They got to be in those gaps. They got to be in those run fits.
Vikings news is next. More questions for Ben about the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan.
Welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show. Going around the room. Breaking down yesterday's loss to the vaunted Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Thanks again to Jefferson Lines, to our friends at Budweiser, our friends at Northland Vodka, everybody.
And the Rubes.
Who got us down there. And the Rubes came along. What a blast we had.
Nice people, huge fans of the show.
Yeah.
I can't believe that sometimes because sometimes the show's just trash.
Yep. But as always, we say it, Jefferson Lines, the official bus partner of not only the Power Trip, but the Fan in general. And thank you for getting us there and back safely. And as always, Michael Kenny, great job too. So thank you all. Let's talk more Vikings news.
It's time for Vikings news.
Touchdown!
Presented by
Petco!
Your truck accessories.
Thank you, Radko. Oh.
All right, little positivity, little negativity. How do you analyze Kirk's game after the month he just had, right? Historically good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best passer ratings for a month in NFL history. On fire, right? He was the offensive player of the month in the NFC. Yesterday, 3 touchdown throws, but 50% completions, had a couple of big misses, some overthrows, a couple of throws like the one to Thielen that he got turned around on. Same thing with Treadwell. A couple of open receivers that he didn't connect with. How do you feel about his game in general with the pros and the cons?
I'm indifferent about it. I don't think it's as bad as people on at least the Twitter sphere want to make it. I mean, I do feel bad for the guy because I feel like so much of the Vikings fan base just want him to fail. I think that's unfortunate.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Especially when we've been craving a quarterback forever.
I think that they're still stuck on the $84 million. I mean, I think that they want him to do Superman-esque things. And they for some reason, want him to be the perfect. They want him to be like the Frankenstein quarterback from every attribute of every quarterback that's out there. Like, well, why can't he make that throw that Aaron Rodgers makes? Why can't he elude people like Lamar Jackson? Why can't he do this? Why, like, because he is who he is. Like, every quarterback has a set skill set, and he's not a perfect quarterback, and you have to live with that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw for, 61 yards in 3 quarters yesterday. I mean, people can have bad days, and you can be a little off. I think he was off early. I was even telling Hawk just down the line off the air that when he came out, he was pretty juiced up. Like, he was – like, he must have had somebody in the crowd, but the opening drive – he comes before he even hits the huddle. He's like pointing up at the crowd at somebody, and he's like kind of fist pumping. He gets the call, and he looks around the guys, and he's like kind of like, you can tell he's jacked up. Like takes a knee, and he's like making eye contact with all the guys, and it's like an emphatic like clap when he breaks the huddle. Like, I think we want him to be juiced up, and I think he was too juiced up, and he had some errant throws on the first drive and a little bit in the first quarter, but then. Dude, I think in the second quarter he was throwing some darts, man. Like, he had some awesome throws.
You like the juice.
And I think throughout the game, I think that they collectively, he was just put in some tougher situations. I know a lot of people are upset about that, the quote unquote, the final drive. You know, under 2 minutes, gets the ball back. Let's see what Kirk is made of. Well, if I remember right, it's a bootleg that was, everything was covered. Then it was a screen pass to Irv, which at the time that he threw the ball, Irv was uncovered. I mean, there wasn't like a guy right on top of him. So he makes the throw. Screen passes are one of those things, like, you either throw the screen pass or you throw it in the dirt, you throw it in the stands. Like, that's where the ball is going. So that's maybe just a play design thing. And then he gets sacked because our guys can't protect. Like, his back foot hits the ground and he gets a guy in his face. So what do you want him to do? Yeah. You know, like, it's not like he can just be a magician out there and be like, oh, you know, just make something out of nothing. That's I think there's unrealistic expectations sometimes. So could he have played better? Hell yeah, he could have played better. Was he the reason that they lost? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
Well said.
After one catch for 4 yards, could we see the return of Pouty Diggs?
Well, didn't we see that yesterday on the sideline?
Yeah, we saw it.
But Kirk went over to him, didn't he? And he kind of came back to the pack after he'd sat way on the left side from everybody, after Kirk went and talked to him. But could we see it return this week?
I hope not. You know, here's my thing with Diggs is I love his ability to make plays. I actually think in some weird, odd ways that his little tantrum that he threw is the catalyst for Kirk going off, the catalyst for the offense to step up and have a sense of urgency. Now, that sort of behavior is not something that you want to repeat, so, you know, multiple times in a season. Then it just becomes, all right, now you're just being a pouty baby. So when the times are right, I think it's good to use that sort of energy to pump everybody up. In situations like yesterday, take that energy and be a positive guy on the sidelines. Don't take that energy and sulk. Don't take that energy and suck. Don't be an energy suck and sit on the sidelines and pout and have everybody just have this attention on you only because you're being negative. I don't know, man. Like, I think that he's got to grow up a little bit as a leader and realize that if he didn't realize already that his voice carries a lot of weight and his behavior carries a lot of weight, he needs to now accept that responsibility and use that in more positive ways, especially in-game when the whole offensive line could use a little pump-up. The receiving core with Thielen going down could use a pump-up. Be an agent of change and positivity versus this negative black cloud that follows him around when he doesn't get his touches.
Hmm. Ben, are we worried about Mike Hughes as the punt returner?
Nah, not really. Okay. No, I mean, you guys were there. You guys saw that it was... I think everybody was sort of battling the wind a little bit, and it was, you know, at times gusty and all that. I'm with Pete though and Greg. I do think that once he catches the ball, he's got to do a lot less just kind of dancing around.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that wasn't on the air. So will you tell us what we're talking about? What you're talking about?
No, that wasn't on the air.
That wasn't on the air.
I sometimes forget what's on the air. What's not on the air?
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, basically, they were saying off the air that he's just got to hit it. Like, he's got to stop trying to be so perfect to set up these blocks. And like Greg was saying, like, well, the one play in particular later in the game was like, well, it was a left return. So he is trying to, in a way, allow his blockers to turn their hips to set up a left return. But sometimes in punt return, you just got to improvise. Like, you got to get to that left return, but sometimes it may not be in the way that you do in practice. It's you got to catch and go. You got to get downhill. You got to start making some ground because good punt return is only like what 8 or 9 yards. You know, like you got to go.
And what they were saying is that what he's trying to do works in college football that doesn't work in the pros.
Yeah,
you believe that as well?
Because you're better than everybody else in college. Yeah,
you
can
just outrun half the people.
You don't have the time in the pros to dance like that always.
For sure.
Unless you're Devin Hester or Deion Sanders
or Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, or Dalvin. Yeah.
I mean, if you are Tyreek back there. Yeah, that was working for him in college. But for a guy like Mike Hughes that doesn't have that world-class twitch, then you got to just get downhill. And yes, he's got some wiggle. He's got some strength to break some tackles. But get downhill first, pick up some yards, and then from there you can use your blocks.
Let's quickly take a trip, a special trip this time, though, to Hy-Vee with CJ Ham, because we're going to talk to him a little bit, so we don't have any sound bites for you to play as an interview, but instead, we're going to focus on the big play from CJ Ham.
Time now for the Vikings Report on The Fan, presented by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Vikings fullback CJ Ham joins the power trip after this from Hy-Vee.
It's 2nd and 8. They gave Cook 8. Offset eye left behind Kirk Cousins, who's under center. The fullback, C.J. Ham. The tailback, Dalvin Cook. Irv Smith Jr. in motion to the right. Play action. Kirk on a straight drop. Passes left. C.J.'s wide open. 25-30. 35-40. C.J. weaving to the right and to the left. Dragging Chiefs to the 50. C.J. Ham to the Chiefs 46-yard line. By far the longest reception of his career. It's 32 yards, first down Vikings.
CJ Ham will be on this show. Thanks to our friends at Hy-Vee. Good morning, everybody. Patrick Moore Show, thanks for tuning in. 7:59 on the dot. Monday, November 4th. If you don't have your Christmas tree up yet, what are you waiting on?
How many do you have up, Hogs?
Well, I haven't been home, so as soon as I get home.
Hell yeah, dude.
Good for you. Baby. Thank you.
Did you ever get the thing you ordered from eBay?
No. I have to. The doggy thing is finally going back, and now they'll send it to me.
Man, my dad's going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I know. One Australian man has finally discovered, Corey, why he's had a sinus infection for about 18 years.
A sinus infection for 18 years.
He couldn't get rid of it, Ben.
Oh, boy.
Ben, he couldn't get rid of a sinus infection. A study in BMJ case reports says doctors in Sydney conducted a CT scan and found the 48-year-old dude had a calcified rubber capsule full of pot inside his nasal passage. Following the discovery, the man remembered that before heading to prison 18 years ago, he shoved a capsule up his nose.
Forgot about it.
Thought he swallowed it after inhaling too hard. But no, he denied. Since then, the man has suffered numerous sinus problems and headaches. After treatment, he says there have been no more nasal issues. And he had one hell of a buzz.
Oh, you used it for weed? Damn! Where'd you go to weed college?
Ick, Ben. Don't show me that. Ben's losing it.
What is it? Memory. I got to see it.
Sorry. Yeah, it's a video your dad would love. I think it's a guy walking through the mall. He poops, literally walking through the mall. And then some other guy does the like classic old guy where he's like slowly walking, and he steps in it and slides on it and falls.
Wait, the guy takes his pants down to crap?
No, some dude did a walking poop.
Yeah, he did a walking S-word.
He did a walking poop getting off the escalator.
Oh, my God.
And another guy gets off right behind him and, like, slips on the banana peel, yeah, which is a pile of poop.
Oh, my but then God. It leaves a, like, about a two-foot-long poop streak.
Oh, my God.
And then he lays in the, like, he's in a mall.
Did he do snow angels?
He falls in the luggage, like, what just happened? Yeah, he slid in S-word.
Just go to our guy Rex Chapman's Twitter deal. All like right.
Dude, Rex has turned himself into this internet,
brilliant,
like, just giant.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? Everybody loves Rex Chapman's Twitter account.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that guy did that. And I don't think this is a... Yeah, you might be right. It's a mall.
Yeah,
it's a mall. I thought for some reason it was an airport because everybody's got backpacks on.
It may be an airport.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, but how does that guy just do the walking poop?
I don't know.
How
and then do the guy, that? Like, he walks out onto ice for the first time. That's what it looks like when he falls.
What is happening in this video?
Stuff that happens every day.
Yeah.
But we just normally don't see cameras on it. Ugh.
Oh, it just falls out of his shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Like a horse.
And then
like
the guy, it's like he's a horse.
Yeah, like Corey was worried about that yesterday.
I kept saying that at the stadium.
Yeah.
That up. I think I asked 15 people. I'm like, what happens if this horse at the at Arrowhead, what happens if this horse pees or goes to the bathroom? I didn't see one of those, you know, horse diapers like you see in parades.
Right.
Chiefs score, horse comes onto the field. What if it just says, I know you're telling me to circle back and get off the field, but I got to go. What if it takes a gigantic dump at the 50-yard line? Or pees. What do they do?
Yeah, that's going to leave a puddle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they do, because I actually thought the same thing, and they didn't have, like, you know, at some of these parades and fairs.
They got the bucket, diaper.
Yeah, the little poop catcher.
They didn't have that.
Nope.
And I didn't see if it was a male or a female horse, but I didn't see anything catching the front either.
Yeah.
So that thing was free to go. If I'm the Vikes, I raise hell if Thielen's got a bum leg and has to run through horse pee.
Yeah.
What if that's how he re-aggravated his injury and is out for the year because he slipped on horse piss?
Like, or poop like that guy did.
Ugh. We need a real animal at US Bank Stadium.
What would we have?
Oh, we used to have, what's his name, Ragnar riding around on a motorcycle, right?
Still think Saucy should take that spot.
I'd love to do that.
Saucy.
They'd never let you ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, but then we have to worry about the same thing you worry about with the horse.
Brilliant.
Saucy pooped on the field again.
Yeah, damn it. Sosnar. And Hockey was out there and slipped and broke his leg.
Dude, everybody loves the Red Panda at halftime of NBA games. What if we combine Ragnar and the Red Panda and it's Sauce on a unicycle after every score?
Yeah, I would. If I... Yeah.
Sauce-nar.
Yeah, I wouldn't go very far because I'd easily be out of breath, but I would at least get it to, like, the hash mark.
There'd be a hash mark in your pants.
Yeah, there would, because I'd be scared of falling.
Here comes Sauce-nar, the very average.
Yeah. And it's done.
It's over.
Yeah, wow. He fell again.
Skull chant with you on a unicycle.
Yeah. Yep, his butt crack's hanging out because his pants are too small.
Man, I'd love it if you learned how to ride the unicycle.
Yeah, just in general. Forget at US Bank Stadium.
Where would I ride it?
I don't know. Around town? Through the Skyway?
I've got a kid in our neighborhood that rides one. I can't tell you. It's quite bizarre. But it's also quite respectable at the same time.
Yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those skills where if you see somebody learn it, you say, that's really impressive. It's not going to get you anywhere in life, but it's cool, right? It's not going to get you chicks. It's not going to get you paid.
God, no.
Right, because Red Panda is about the only paid unicyclist on the planet. Yeah. So there's no money in it. There's no chicks in it. There's no career there. It's just a pride thing. You're just happy for yourself that you can do it.
It's just one of those things I think that it should be on a longer list of cooler things that you can do. Like, hey, I speak fluent Mandarin, and I learned how to speak German, and I can write with my left hand, and I can also ride a unicycle. It's like, oh, wow, you're a very well-balanced. That's impressive that you can do all of those things. But if your list is just like, I taught myself how to ride a unicycle.
Right, that can't be your whole list. Good point. But also, like, that's why I want to learn how to do a Rubik's Cube. Because if you're at a party and somebody's like, hey, I think Corey can do it, and be like, oh, sure, whatever, just throw me that thing. And then you solve it in 30 seconds, like, God dang, that's really good. Nobody at a party is going, hey, I hear Corey can unicycle. Why don't you go around the block once and show us all?
Yeah.
Like, no one is ever asking for
that. Why doesn't your unicycle have a seat?
Because I like to party.
You live dangerously. Hey, can we quickly get to the thing Ben and I were talking about?
The poop, and we did.
Oh, there's another one. There's another bigger sports story.
Oh.
This one needs a specific song. One second.
Oh, it's not the young gentleman from the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, that's I know exactly where you're going with this as well.
Yeah,
I
do too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So,
not the song I thought you were going to choose.
This is Low by
Ben,
the band Cracker.
You correct me if I'm if this information is wrong, but Jermaine Whitehead is a safety for the Browns.
Sure,
right?
I didn't really know him.
Browns
until the story.
A safety or a corner. He didn't have a very good game yesterday, and people started calling him out on Twitter, and he lost it. He was like calling people dumbass crackers, and some this
I
guy
love crackers.
This guy
the saltines are incredible.
Give me the time and a place. You suck. And then he wrote the guy his actual address, and he said, any bleeping day of the week, cracker. And then,
well, go back to the one with Dustin Fox, because
that's the one that got the most.
All right.
So Dustin Fox used to play here. He went to Ohio State.
Correct.
He does radio and TV, I think, in Ohio. He wrote, Whitehead's effort tackling today is a joke. Well, Whitehead responded and said, come get it in blood, bitch. Made ass little boy. I'm out there with a broken hand. Don't get smoked, F ass cracker.
By the way, my favorite part of this is during the break. Sauce goes, I can't say cracker, can I? And I go, sure you can.
Yeah, I feel really bad for you know, obviously I'm not happy with the death threats, but that's just the least offensive thing he could ever call me.
I know.
Right. I love crackers. There's got to be something worse.
Right.
I'm definitely a cracker.
Yeah.
I think the one that did it for me wasn't the cracker comment. It's like, don't get smoked, which means don't get your ass killed, which means basically you're threatening to kill
him. Twitter suspended his account.
Because he did threaten to shoot people.
Well, he just got cut, so.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, that's the story. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's the update.
They waved him.
Well, see you later.
Well,
hold on. Damn it, I finally have that sound effect after all these years.
Oh, here's
see you later.
Here's more.
Oh, yeah, he's got more.
Maybe not. Yeah, just saw 2 for 110 yards and a TD, F boy. Don't get shot, you little ass bitch. Can you whoop my ass, F football? Let me know when you need that address. I'm going to kill you, bitch. That's on blood. I don't know what that means.
He's got problems.
Now he's unemployed.
See, yeah, he is. And the person that he was threatening was probably an 11-year-old kid on his computer.
I love that. So this is the best part of the whole thing. And whatever. If the guy's dealing with something, I feel bad for him. But somebody, he wrote what the address was, right? Well, where does the address go? The Browns complex.
Home. Yeah, that's not his home. That's the Browns football complex.
Yeah, meet me at practice.
All right.
Which he is no longer employed there.
How about this?
He can't meet you there.
Ben, read the name people made for his Wikipedia.
Oh my God. Okay. If you Wikipedia him, it says, Jermaine, quote, the racist Whitehead. Position, miss tackles.
Oh my God.
Wikipedia is brilliant.
Yeah, Wikipedia is brilliant. Man, this is a great wormhole to go down.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, God, how quickly you can go. Oh, he's playing professional football yesterday in a span of a few hours. He gone.
Yeah.
Boy, and I don't think that'll follow him around at all.
No.
Amateur air period, people just forget that.
Boy, that is just a...
Well, and now...
Just snapping,
now
right?
People have... Now people have changed 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland to Bull and Cracker.
It's Bull and Fox.
Yeah, now it's Bull and Cracker.
I don't get that. Like, look, racial slurs are bad.
Terrible.
Is there anybody on the planet that's offended by Cracker?
No.
No, like, if somebody got into my face and called me, I'd be more upset about the tone, right? Like, wow, this guy really wants to kill me. But, I don't know, Cracker just doesn't do anything for me. Right? It's pretty easy being white if...
That's the worst. That's what I'm saying.
If the racial slur that you can get called doesn't offend you in any way, like, yeah, I get it. That's fine. That's adorable. Cute. What a cute little racial slur you're trying to drop on me.
Wow. Delicious.
That's nothing to do with the broken hand.
I need some ice cold butter in a plate.
See, Corey, I thought you'd go with Uncle Cracker.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that
great
sucks.
Point,
yeah.
Right, Hogs?
Yeah, man, I like Uncle Cracker.
Yeah.
Give me a beat, boys. Free my soul.
Does Dustin Fox have any nieces or nephews? Is he Uncle Cracker now? Did you play with Dustin? Was he? Oh, good dude?
Yeah, great dude.
Did you ever call him a cracker in the locker room?
A lot. Yeah. Yep.
A lot.
Yeah, he called me some Asian slang. And
yeah. It's fun. As long as it's equal. Should we break so we can talk to CJ next or what?
We can't get him until 8:20, so we got a couple more minutes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We got I could give away some tickets if you guys want.
Oh, please do that, because we have a big concert coming up.
I think it's to Sauce's
Sweet! Comedy That's
deal.
What I said.
Yeah, thanks, Hogs.
Oh.
Jeez, okay. Brianne.
Yep, you know, slowing things down. Well, winner gets a pair of tickets to see Flop, Sweat, and Tears. The Common Man, Meat Sauce, and cast of thousands perform stand-up live at Bogart's Entertainment Center in Apple Valley. So call now. Get two tickets.
What's Duh.
It, no.
I don't know.
651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326.
That sounds
right. This Friday. Two shows if you want tickets.
You can choose which show.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going quick.
Speaking of shows, Ben, any interest in going to see Rage Against the Machine in Arizona with us?
No.
Damn it, Ben.
Yeah, people come up. You know what's weird, Corey? I started to mention this earlier. We were talking about this. On Friday, I was reading this magazine about the 90s and how, you know, the sea change in music that happened in the 90s. But not just Nirvana. The change that happened with new metal and, you know, Korn. And then they got to the Rage Against the Machine part. And there's a whole article on Rage Against the Machine and the guy who was their first producer. And the very last paragraph of the article was, sadly, any hope that they'll ever reunite is probably dead. Zach has said he doesn't want to do it anymore.
That was Friday.
And I read that on Friday. And then I just saw this. When did I tweet it? It might have been Friday night that I tweeted
it. I think
it
came out. Yeah, it was over the weekend, Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. They're coming back around again. Rage Against the Machine is coming back around again. Yeah. I'm so excited.
It's good. I don't mind some of their music. I'm just not going to go to Arizona to watch them.
Well, that's sad.
What?
Your attitude, yeah.
No, my attitude. It's not negative.
No, you're a cracker.
I'm kind of half a cracker.
You're half a cracker?
Yeah.
Oh, you're delicious, too.
I love that changed the name to Bullen Cracker. That's so brilliant.
See, if that were, imagine. It'd be the Power Cracker Morning Show.
Yeah.
The Cracker Trip Morning Show.
Currently, that's being changed. Yeah.
A couple of small sports stories you guys probably don't care about, but here you go. Golfer Phil Mickelson is going to fall out of the top 50 golfers in the world for the first time since 1993.
Good. Wow. He deserves it.
There you go.
Wow.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
That's fine. Yeah, okay. I told you might not care about it. Let's see.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's fine. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson credited Popeye's chicken sandwiches for healing his eye injury.
No, he did not.
He did. He was joking, obviously. Yeah. That's what he said. But people love those things, man.
I don't get it.
They love them.
Wasn't there a big debate between Chick-fil-A and Popeye's and was it something else? Who had the best chicken sandwich? I feel like that was like a month ago. That was kind of a thing.
But now the Popeye's chicken sandwich is back.
It's back.
So the lines are around the corner, around the country.
Yeah.
Would you try that? Would you eat that sans bread?
No.
But you like bread, though.
Yeah, but I don't want it with chicken.
So wait a minute.
It has to be separate.
I'm
not doing it. together.
But it's just basically a chicken finger.
I know. Everything you're saying is logical. Yeah. I ain't doing it.
That's weird.
CJ Ham is next.
The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Power Trip Morning Show. Thanks to our good friends at Hy-Vee, we get an opportunity once a week to talk to our good friend, CJ Ham, a man that I like to call Thunder. What do you think of that nickname?
What was that?
Do you like the nickname Thunder? Are you okay if I call you that?
Oh, you know what? Go for it.
Don't go for it. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Just asking.
What was it? About a month or so ago, CG, we were talking about when they split you out wide left and that quick slant to you and it like flew off your fingers. You know, we thought maybe, I don't know if they're going to go back to CJ a lot in the air game, but then you had what was it, 30-something yarder yesterday?
I believe so. I mean, I don't know exactly how long it was, but I think it was something like that.
You were wide open, man. That was a sick play call, or I don't know if the defense fell for it. It was just an excellent execution on your part out of Kevin Stefanski, but man, you were wide open on that left side.
Yeah. I mean, after I caught the ball, kind of was a little shocked that I had that much field in front of me, and you know, I just started to go.
CJ, we all know that Vikings fans travel well no matter where it is, but what was it like yesterday playing in basically what appeared on TV and radio to be almost a half and half crowd?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was looking out into the stands and seeing all that purple, hearing the skull chants. I mean, I think our skull chant actually made the KC fans start chanting while their team was on offense and they jumped offside. So it was just it was special. You know, I'm like I said before, I'm a little biased, but I think we do have one of the best fan groups in the whole NFL.
Yeah, I don't think that I've ever seen, especially at Arrowhead, where it was 50-50 Chiefs fans to the opposing team's fans, and then they got the Chiefs fans to get up out of their seats and do their tomahawk chop cheer to combat the skull chants. It was kind of dueling chance. I do want to ask you a football question, though. You guys go into the game knowing that this defense for the Chiefs was, you know, struggling a little bit in the run game, but yet they were doing a pretty good job of stopping you guys, and you guys didn't have a ton of success and didn't break any huge runs. What were they doing? What did you guys talk about on the sidelines when you guys looked at the little tablets? What were they doing to stop your guys' run game so effectively?
I mean, they did a really good job. I mean, hats off to them and going out and executing and, you know, holding us, you know, in the run game. But they just stuck to their game plan with, you know, getting upfield, getting penetration, and you know, we just got to do a better job as a whole offensive unit to you know, execute and look and try to do better.
CJ, from afar, they seemed disorganized, though, and panicked pre-snap almost every time on defense. Did you hear that and see that firsthand?
That they were what?
They just seemed like they were a little bit panicked and scattered, and sometimes it seemed like at the last second they were still shifting because they weren't sure where they were supposed to be lined up. It just seemed like defensively they were disorganized. They had some success, obviously, but pre-snap they looked like they were panicking.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a testament to our offense and how we, you know, sometimes we go tempo and, you know, we have a good, I guess, organization when it comes to our pre-snap alignments and getting on the ball quick.
You know, the one thing that is a big storyline in a positive way from yesterday's game was that Thielen could not go and play in the game when we thought he was going to, but it gave Laquon Treadwell an opportunity to go out there and be showcased, and for his stats, he kind of did showcase and was a guy that we could count on. What was it like to just be around that and the energy that he brought, knowing that he was getting some targets and some catches?
Yeah, I mean, it was great for Laquon. I mean, we obviously know his journey and what he's been through, and for him to go out there on a, you know, big stage and showcase, you know, the talent that we all know he has. It's really good for him, and you know, we hope that it just continues to build confidence in him and all of us as well.
CJ, you got to go back on the road this weekend, play another premier NFL team in a very hostile environment on Sunday Night Football. How do you guys adapt?
I mean, we just got to look at it as another opportunity. We know the second half of the season we have a lot of contenders, and you know a lot of those games are away as well. So we have to go out there and we got to find a way to steal games on the road. And we know how hard it is to win on the road in the NFL. And with it being Sunday Night Football prime time, we know it's going to be a great game. And we got to look at it and be excited for the opportunity to go out there and showcase our talents in front of everybody.
Obviously you guys feel like it was a missed opportunity to go to Kansas City, and I think a lot of people thought that talent-wise you guys should have won that game. And I know you guys obviously are very disappointed, but is it even more disappointing when you get on the bus and you get on the plane and you see that the Packers are losing and then they ultimately lose? Does it feel like an even bigger deflation of emotion when you see that you not only just lost the game, but, man, you had an opportunity to kind of gain a game as well with the Packers losing?
We look at the games around the league, and we see Packers lose. That's a good thing for us, but at the same time, we can only control what we can control, and we have to go out there and get the job done, and not worry too much about the other games.
All right, thanks, CJ. Good luck against Dallas. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, CJ.
CJ Ham of the Minnesota Vikings. They lost to the Chiefs yesterday, 26-23. Both teams now 6-3. Can we transition back to the other football team for a second?
Yeah.
So again, giant game on Saturday. Penn State, number 5, traveling to number 13, the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. By the way, are we still 13th? I didn't see what happened after this weekend.
Anything changed? I did not see the polls yet.
I will look, young sirs.
I didn't even think to look because, of course, our team did not play. But what happened in front of them to change? Anything? Are we still 13th?
It's a pretty light weekend.
Somebody said there was like the first time in 20-something years that 1, 2, and 3 all had the week off.
Yeah, it was a weird week. Yeah, we're still 13th. Both polls.
So we mentioned earlier, though, as the anticipation for the giant game on Saturday grows, the rumors around PJ Fleck continue to swirl because he's having an awesome year. They're 8-0 for the first time in, what? I don't know. 80 years? What is it now?
Hawk, how long is it?
Something like that.
74,000 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Point is, if you go to ESPN.com right now, there's an article about Willie Taggart being fired by Florida State, and they're already speculating what's next for Florida State. What are they going to do? And the picture that's attached to the story is a picture of PJ Fleck. But Ben, you found actual odds for the Florida State job. Correct. Now, you told them to me, so I'm out, but between everybody else, run through all of the odds and the names without involving P.J. Fleck, and then these guys can guess where they think Fleck falls. Go.
Okay, so P.J. Fleck is going to share the odds with one of these coaches. I want you guys to tell me which one you think it is and which odds it is. It's a lot of numbers and a lot of names, but just maybe just throw out the names.
Numbers are my thing.
Okay, yes. So mine too. We'll start from the bottom, and we'll work our way to the top. So Bobby Bowden is a 50-1. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan is 20-1. Jimbo Fisher going back to Florida State is 15-1. Dino Babers at Syracuse and Matt Rhule from Baylor, who's undefeated, is 10-1 odds. Josh Heupel, right there at Central Florida, 7-1 odds. Urban Meyer, who we thought is going to be rumored to go to USC, is 6-1 odds. James Franklin, Penn State, and Bob Stoops, who's currently in retirement, at 5-1. Mark Stoops' brother at Kentucky is 4-1 odds. And Matt Campbell from Ames, Iowa, at Iowa State, who's been rumored to go a lot of different places, including the NFL, is 3-1 odds. Where do you think PJ Fleck falls in that list?
I'll go first. I believe they think it's pretty likely, so I think he's tied with Mark Stoops.
At 5-1.
5-1, yeah.
Okay.
Sauce.
I think he's tied with the, is it Iowa State guy?
Matt Campbell's leading the pack at 3-1.
I think he's tied with that guy.
Zach, you want to take a crack at it?
69-1, because okay. I was here and I heard it.
Okay, jeez. You did hear it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It meets us.
Well, PJ Fleck is tied with Urban Meyer at 6-1 odds. So he's sort of the upper echelon of the pack. But a lot of big names in front of him, including Bob Stoops, would be easy. There's no buyout from any other university. Sounds like he's young enough to still take over a program. So he is just currently on the streets and it'd be an easy hire. Shoot, he could come in today if you wanted to.
Why not?
James Franklin, Mark Stoops, and then Matt Campbell.
Two questions for you, no. Ben Lieber.
Yeah.
Okay, then I won't ask. One, I think it's two. One, how quickly can something like this happen? We're like, Florida State goes, PJ,
regardless of the outcome, we'll pay you $10 million a year. Is it something that can just happen that easily?
No. Well, considering, you know, whatever the buyout is from the university with Minnesota, I mean, yeah, I think if, look, Florida State has, they've got money, and they can't afford it at that university because there's nothing else in Tallahassee. They can't afford to go through another few down years. Like, they're going to invest money in their program.
Right.
And so I think if even if it was, hey, here's a gigantic contract and here's $5 million to the university to buy you out, I think they would do it.
And the second thing, we've talked about this, but it's new audience, new listeners. These blue blood jobs in college sports don't come up all the time.
No.
Why not?
I don't know, man. I'm sorry. Who am I talking to?
PJ, you know.
PJ.
You know.
So this is an opportunity that's not going to just next year go, well, yeah, Florida State's job came up again.
No.
Or USC's job came up again. So maybe this is the year that he leaves.
No.
Okay, fine. Then he doesn't. I guess I don't know why I'm asking you, Ben. He's answering.
Well, I don't think that, you know, if you just even look around the Big Ten, I don't think that there's a lot of jobs that he'd jump to other than maybe Michigan. I don't even think Michigan State. D'Antonio might get fired. I think that's a lateral move even for the Gophers. Obviously, if Franklin leaves and Penn State's available, that is an upper echelon program. Would he go to Happy Valley? I wouldn't fault him for that. But I don't think,
why not?
If you even look in the Big Ten, there's not a whole lot of jobs I think he'd want to jump ship to. So yeah, you'd have to start looking at the Notre Dames, the Florida States, the USCs, and you're right. These jobs don't come up like this. And the fact that there's going to be potentially so many
Johnson.
So many blue bloods that are available. That just means the
blue blood.
The talent is going to be spread out pretty thin too. So maybe he's not the number one candidate for USC, but one of these guys on this list, let's say Bob Stoops goes there, and let's say Urban Meyer goes there.
No,
well, there's still Florida State, and there's still Notre Dame, still Michigan State, there's still potentially Michigan.
Isn't it weird that, like, if you're a top 10 school, right, all you want your coach to do is win because there's nowhere else for that coach to go, right? They're making a ton of money. It's legacy. They're just going to be there for the next 50 years. When you're a school like Minnesota, it's kind of like having, if you're a 5 or a 6, but you're dating a 9, you want her to have like a limp or like a slight acne problem, just something to keep her from dating a 10. So, like, you can look at this 8-0 team and go, well, if they had just lost a couple, there'd be no threat of him leaving. If they were 6-2, a couple of bad losses.
I would be a little worried if I was a big Gopher fan and they beat Penn State. Look out, man.
Well, then he can almost call any shot he wants.
I know. I'm just saying that the university better pony up because he's absolutely going to leverage whatever conversations his agent has to for more money at Minnesota, and you'd be stupid not to pay him. You have to keep him if you're serious about a football program here.
I do this for you.
Exactly. Then you pay the guy. Do it for us,
Peter. You're everything to me.
Thank you.
You guys are friends of mine.
Headlines next. Power Trip Morning Show right here on The Fan.
KFAN.
Hey, Zach Daniels here for Duck Butter. It's salty, it's creamy, and it's delicious. Duck Butter is great on everything, from buns to nuts to everything in between. Get Duck Butter in drawers, I mean stores, now.
Welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show. Thanks for tuning in. Some things that you might like to
see, but they're me. You're an idiot.
Wish I had a lot of Ben Lieber's here.
Hi, sir.
Hi, baby. Nice job yesterday, as always.
Thanks, you too. It's fun to work with you on Sundays.
I love it. I love doing it. I really do. I like that job a lot. And thanks again to all the Power Trippers out there. Two bus fulls, Jefferson Lines bus fulls of people that came to Kansas City with us. I hope you had as much fun as we did.
And they were all hammered. I think they had fun.
Yeah, yeah. We had a great time. I love it. And Jefferson Lines, of course, great job, as always. Steven and everybody, thank you.
Steven Wales.
He's the best in the whole wide world.
He's such a great dude.
Diamond Joe's, thank you for my money.
Yep.
Budweiser, thank you. All of you. All the yens. Northland Vodka, thank you. And now it's time for Sauce, before we get to headlines, to give us a full breakdown of everything that happened in the NFL yesterday.
Go.
The Texans beat Jacksonville 26-3 in London. Watson
threw. How long are you going to talk?
Quite a while. Watson threw two touchdowns on 201 yards. The Texans are now 6-3. The Jags are 4-5.
Yeah.
Bills smoked Washington 24-9. Josh Allen threw and ran in a touchdown. The Bills are 6-2. Washington is 1-7.
Ugh.
Miami, got their first win 26-18 over the Jets.
Did I stutter?
Yes, I did. Fitzpatrick, 288 yards and three touchdowns. Miami is 1-7, and so are the Jets.
Gross.
Gross.
How about this stat? I love this thing that I wrote. Eagles 22, Chicago 14. Mitch Trubisky was 10 of 21 for 125 yards.
I can see why you love that.
This is better. The Bears had 6 punts and 9 total yards in the first half.
Nice.
The Eagles are 5-4. The Bears are 3-5.
What parts of those sentences did you love?
I love those 6.
You really set a high bar, like, I love what I wrote. And then you just read two very bland, boring football stats.
I love the 6 punts and 9 yards.
I'd like you to say that as fast as possible.
No, it's only because it's 6 Dude, and 9.
Nice
no,
job.
Yeah, it's
no.
because
nice.
It's 6 and 9.
Is that old Sauce Palantonio over there?
Sauce Palantonio. Yeah, he always does talk about the Eagles. He does.
Steelers. Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
I made a career out of that. Steelers held on to beat the Colts 26-24, and this happened at the end.
There's a snap. The ball. Kick is on its way. It is no good.
Adam Vinatieri missed to give the Steelers the win. Brian Hoyer threw 3 touchdowns because Jacoby Brissett got injured and only had 50-something.
I love it!
50-something yards. The Steelers are 4-4. The Colts are 5-3.
The Fan and 97.1 Hank FM, Indianapolis. Thank you.
Panthers beat the Titans 30-20. McCaffrey, 166 total yards, 3 total touchdowns like this.
McCaffrey right up the middle. Running free, may score! To the 40, to the 30, foot race, 20, to the 10-yard line. Yes, sir, he scores a touchdown.
The Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
I think it's his 3rd touchdown over 50 yards on the ground running.
Ben, if you had to vote today, MVP McCaffrey or Wilson? Or somebody else?
Lamar Jackson?
No. Yeah, Lamar's a stud.
He's
dude.
Good, but not for MVP. I'll probably have to go Russell. Which I hate that take because it's always, you know, Heisman's always a quarterback. The MVP's always a quarterback. Like, I don't know.
The Panthers are 5-3. The Titans are 4-5. Packers lost 26-11 to the Chargers. Melvin Gordon had 2 touchdowns and 80 yards.
Is this going to be one of those weird games where they say there's never been a final score 26-11? That's a weird number.
That is a weird number. Packers are 7-2. Chargers are 4-5. The Raiders 31, Lions 24. Josh Jacobs 2 touchdowns.
Daniel Heimerschmidt.
Yep, correct. 120 yards. Raiders are 4-4. The Lions are 3-4-1.
It's like the third time you've done that joke, and I've laughed all 3 times.
Denver with possibly the upset of the day. They beat Cleveland 24-19 with a guy who was starting his first game. I don't know what his name is, but he won. Broncos are 3-6. The Browns are.
His name is Brandon Allen.
Are 2-6.
I like how he looks up all these stats for all the games, but can't look up the guy's name who
that
played
his
quarterback.
Least favorite thing he had written.
Yeah, he didn't. Yep. Even, he did not.
Oh,
love that.
I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Sox. The Seahawks.
I love this bit.
The Seahawks outlast Tampa in overtime. Wilson threw 5 touchdowns on 378 yards. I didn't write the score down.
40-34.
Baltimore 37, New England 20. Lamar Jackson threw 1 touchdown and ran in 2 more. The Ravens are 6-2. The Pats are now 8-1. And the Cowboys will take on the Giants tonight. The Cowboys are -6.5. That is the opponent of your Minnesota Vikings next week.
All right, good job, dude.
Way to go, Sauce Palin.
Now it's time for headlines.
All right, here's just the headline. We don't have any context. I just read the headline. You guys react accordingly. Here we go. Mm-hmm. A person in Connecticut who handed razor blades out to some children claimed it was an accident.
Ugh. Get a new bit.
Jeez.
Seriously. Yeah. Like, if you're going to be that a-hole, that's cliched. Like, how long has it been played out?
Well, how about this one? An anti-vaxxer in Australia claims she gave out lollipops tainted with chicken pox on Halloween.
Jesus.
You asked for it, you got it, Ben. An anti-vaxxer in Australia claims she gave out lollipops tainted with chicken pox on Halloween.
At least it's an original thought.
Yeah, but kill her.
I know.
I mean, what? A group of more than 20 people who were all conceived from the same sperm donor have found each other.
Yeah. Wait, go back to the other one. How does she just get chicken pox virus?
Oh, you've never tried pox pops? They're the greatest.
You endorsing those now?
I love them.
Yeah, is there an ad for that?
Next week.
You can't just buy that at the store, vials of chicken pox virus, can you?
I don't know.
I don't
all right,
know.
Sorry, go ahead.
A tow truck.
Whoa! This thing is disgusting. Yeah, start on you should really get a tow truck.
I got to get some duck butter.
Rex Ryan is against this.
Zach Daniels here for tow
truck. A tow truck driver in Texas was caught on camera putting up a no parking sign just so he could tow an elderly couple's truck.
Oh.
What a steer.
That's cheating. A United Nations agency was displaying some sculptures for an event in France and put underwear to cover up genitals. Put on underwear. That, nice statue. Some MeUndies.
That's a good bit for like a underwear company, though, right?
Yeah. Hopefully they're new and not used.
Oh, yeah. There are two companies who are researching poop, and they want you to send your poop to them to help.
Oh, boy, they're going to get 5 boxes from me today.
Yeah, from a D-Hockey in Ohio. Send this back, please.
Yeah, actually, that's just my dad's address. Yeah. He's the whole thing's a scam. Yeah. To get my poop.
Yeah, he's just going to lay in it. Make poop angels.
Aw, gross.
Just don't put it in a to-go box, because it's just going to leak out. Be a little smarter about it.
Don't let that guy slide on it.
Can we... They get called into the office by the boss and say, "We've got a warehouse full of S.
Yeah.
You might want to clear this with us.
You should say the address is Abbott's office."
And last but not least, just so Sauce can do a joke, and him and I have not talked. This is an improv joke.
Ooh.
Sauce, you don't know where I'm going with this, right?
No, I have no idea.
I'm going to read a story, a headline, and I'm going to hit the drum roll, and then afterwards, you're going to have a joke. My guess is I can almost guess your joke word for word, but I still want to hear you do it. You ready?
Yeah.
McDonald's fired its CEO over the weekend for having a relationship with an employee.
I'd be unemployed.
No.
That's not okay,
it.
Hang on.
Not it.
Hang on. McDonald's fired its CEO over the weekend for having a relationship with an employee.
I got it.
I don't know how you didn't get it the first time, but we're going to try take two.
Man, with the Hamburglar?
Okay. I thought he was going to go Grimace. Did you go Grimace?
If I would have written down an answer, my guess was going to be, did he bang Grimace?
Yeah, they fired Bear McCheese?
Bear McCheese?
So can I try?
Yeah, Ben, you can try.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
McDonald's fired its CEO over the weekend for having a relationship with an employee.
Must have given her the Big Mac.
Ooh.
Zach, you want to try, or would this put your duck butter endorsement?
I like it. I like it.
It's all right.
That's good. No, that was good.
I've got one, but it's going to give me fire.
I want hockey to
Zach,
try.
This is on
oh,
you.
Boy. I don't know.
Okay, good. Oh, that was good.
Oh, come on.
Let's let Hawk try.
The only one I thought of would have gotten me fired.
McDonald's fired its CEO over the weekend for having a relationship with an employee.
Why do you always smell like a fillet of fish?
Oh, gross! Just
gross. Rude.
That's, I mean, of all
you're
things,
sick,
I mean,
Hawk.
You could have gone 1,000 different ways, and you went with them.
And that would never stop you. You go, wow, this is great.
Zach has one. I can just see it. You have it, but you're worried you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I have one that I could.
Probably listen to that little voice.
Yeah.
I can tone it down. I can tone it down. But he gave her a McDouble.
The hand gesture helps.
Yeah.
The joke, yeah, but yeah, on yeah, the yeah. air, nobody gets the bit.
Yeah. Number
Zach,
two.
You should.
Sorry. Okay. Should have kept it.
I appreciate everybody's effort.
Thank you.
Ben, we'll see you on Thursday.
No, you will not. You
won't.
What?
I'm out Thursday. What? Unfortunately, what? I'm out completely. Like, I can't even come in early. I got to
He's out?
Yeah.
He's out?
All right, we'll see you next week then.
We'll see you Monday.
I'll see you in Dallas.
I still love you guys.
I love you more.
I love you.
Where's your college game this week?
Iowa, Wisconsin for Westwood One.
Oh, nice.
Sweet, wow, dude. Good for you, man.
Have fun, brother.
Thank you.
Paul Allen is next. Power trip back tomorrow, 5:30 to 9.
See ya.
To listen back to today's Power Trip Morning Show or to hear previous shows, podcast us on the iHeartRadio app or KFA.